much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Have you heard the good news about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's not easy to scream inside of a bottle.
Something at some point went very wrong with this man.
My vagina ain't handicapped. Vagina ain't handicapped. So what? I can't walk. My vagina ain't handicapped.
I got three words for you. That is artistry.
Let's hear it for vegetables.
Yeah!
Woo! Woo! Let's hear it for fruits.
Can you please not be a jackass in front of the help?
And now,
attention everyone! All menstruating women go home immediately!
Our feature presentation.
That's not a bad policy.
Oh, I agree.
Hey.
It's good advice.
Just saying, it's not a bad policy.
Good advice.
Make
the workplace a lot nicer. I would let you know, man. I'll take that extra 4 days off a month. What, are you kidding me?
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's a Tuesday morning.
Yesterday was a 1,000 Ways to Die marathon on Spike. I don't know if you had a chance to see it or not, Kevin.
No, I did not.
Why is that show the best?
Well, you love human death.
It's perfect for you.
So it really is tailored just for you.
And every show has, I don't know, I mean, they do each story in about 5 minutes. So every show you get about five different spectacular deaths. Yesterday they had the guy who was in the hot tub, and somehow when he sat down on the bottom of the hot tub on the floor, his butt created a perfect seal with whatever the plumbing is down there.
Oh, not again.
And just pulled his intestines out. Just, should have seen. It looked like he had a tail. He's climbing out of the hot tub, and he's got this thing trailing behind him. It's his intestines. Of course, it's a recreation. They have all actors recreating. And the last time we had Tom Beers on, we asked seriously, what's a brother got to do to be one of your death recreation guys?
Yeah, that's what we want to do. Is we want to be the actors that play the guy who died. Yeah.
And some of them you don't need to do, a lot of heavy lifting. Of course, some of them do get killed by heavy lifting. But you know what I'm saying? It doesn't seem like you need to be a skilled actor in order to do a show like that.
Yeah.
You know, at least in some of them. Some of them are a little more complex.
You just needed an endless handkerchief, chain in your butt. And that's it.
there was a guy who was on, I don't even know what they're called, those things that the mechanics lay on when they're working under your car. Like a...
Oh, the thing they...
Dolly.
Yeah.
Right, is that a dolly? I thought dolly, but they didn't sound right, because that's the thing you move furniture with, boxes.
I think both, yeah.
So he shoots himself out from underneath the car right out into the street as the street sweeper is going by, doesn't hear it, and just gets sucked up in the blades of the street sweeper. So that was pretty sweet. And then there was a story that you would have appreciated, Kevin, about a sexaholic real estate agent. She would try to have sex with everyone who came to look at the house in hopes of getting them to want to do business with her and maybe buy a house. That was her plan, to try to sell houses. It doesn't matter. It's a guy, a girl, a couple, whoever it is, she has sex with them. And boy, they spent a lot of time on this one, because it was another attractive woman that came over, and they end up, in their bra and panties in the pool, and they're having a big party. And then they end up making out on top of the washing machine in the laundry room.
Right.
Well,
trying to figure out how this ends in death. And
that's what I've said. I'm watching this show, and I'm like, this is the greatest show ever. How is somebody going to be dead within 2 minutes? So they're doing their business on top of the washing machine, and the washing machine is bouncing back and forth because they put the spin cycle on for the vibrations. And it eventually worked its way free of the connection to the natural gas that provided the energy for the dryer. And I guess in this small laundry room, it kind of fills up with this natural gas. And then when the water heater flame, goes on from time to time to keep the water warm, it just instantly ignited and blew everything up.
That's the way you want to go.
What the hell?
That is the way you want to go. You want to go having sex.
I guess that's the way you want to go. It sounds painful to me, but, I guess you hope it's just an instant death when something like that happens. But yeah, 1 minute you have hot lesbians making out on the on the washer and dryer combo, and then the next minute there's a big explosion and everybody's charred. It's kind of a sad way to go, but I guess I couldn't have expected a happy ending on that show.
Can you imagine her sales compared to everybody else in the office? Yeah, I just sold 3 more today.
What are you talking about? We haven't sold one in 3 months.
Well,
Next time we have Tom Bierzaud, who's the the creator, and I know he's the executive producer, and he's the guy we always talk to about that show. We need to talk to him about, A, how can Kevin and Bean die, which would make so many of our fans so happy after all these years.
That's true.
And B, do they ever look at what the real people look like, and are the recreation actors supposed to look anything like them? Because you can't believe how hot this realtor was. And in my mind, I'm thinking there's no way, right?
Yeah.
If she's a sexaholic real estate agent, there's no way she's as hot as this actress was on this TV show.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess God bless him for making it more palatable for us. But I'd love to know what the real guys look like.
I know that if my agent was a sexaholic, I would not have bought that house because, you know what I mean?
Right.
You do not want to have sex with that woman.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
But anyway, it was a tremendous marathon, and I definitely saw some episodes I hadn't seen before, but it's on the Spike channel. And just one more note before we move on, because it was on Spike, they were doing ads for the new Repo Games tonight, which you know we love. And there's a guy in the Repo Games tonight who lays down in front of or back of his car so that the tow truck can't take it out of the driveway.
What an idiot.
Lays down in front of it.
Every one of these people think that you can't take my car, when the truth is, yes, they can, legally.
Right.
And they
right.
will.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm curious to see how that one works out, because do they just start backing the truck up and the guy doesn't move, or do they physically, you know, get somebody to come pick them up and move them out of the driveway, or what?
They're pretty big dudes. I imagine they just pick them up. But, yeah, that show rules, because people are so dumb. Like, that guy thinks that just because legally they can take his car, if he lays behind the tow truck, it won't happen.
And they'll just go away?
Well, we were going to take it, but what do we do now?
Guy's laid in the driveway, can't get past that.
And they'll never come back, yeah. I guess, right. According to this guy. I don't know. I don't understand that. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Kevin, are you on crack?
Perhaps. Would you like to take that back today?
Okay.
Rousing new episode. Got a lot of them. Got too many of them, actually. I'm in the other room trying to cut them down. It was just one after another, after another, after another.
Well, there's a lot of fail on this show.
We have, what was Justin Bieber wearing at the VMAs?
Good question.
And was that a snake or a worm that he was carrying?
You know what I think? And I haven't read any follow-up on this. I think he was trying to be wacky, saying, hey, look at my flesh-colored snake.
Well, he did. He did name him Johnson. If that
he did
helps
name
your
him
theory,
yeah.
That makes sense.
I think the whole thing was some sort of a sex gag. I think from the Beatles.
Wow, just stupid though, right?
He needs to stop.
He needs to stop everything.
I don't think it was a good idea either.
Yeah, you escaped from a cult today.
Cool.
We're talking about Rose McGowan and how she was. She grew up in a cult, and her dad finally realized that. All little girls seem to be getting molested in this cult. What's happening? So they got out just in time, and Bean knows two people that were in a cult.
I do.
That's
two separate
bizarre.
Cults. Yeah.
So we'll take your calls on that coming up this morning as well. We have Omar's Video Music Award interviews. Now, I understand we're a couple of days past, but these interviews don't really have anything to do with the VMAs. And Omar has a style that's really all his own.
It's confrontational, I'll tell you that.
It's very confrontational. The stuff he says to people is sometimes really hard to believe. And poor little Rebecca Black.
Oh no. She's 14.
She had no idea when she was sitting down in front of Omar that he was going to just blast her. Thank you. And we have Noel Gallagher in the studio. He, of course, half of Oasis, sometimes, sometimes not, and then sometimes again, and sometimes not. But
please make it never again, right?
Well, I'd be fine with that. He sings fine. He's the songwriter.
Uh-huh.
He plays the guitar. Really, his brother Liam only sings.
Yeah.
So
right. He's
fine on his own. And we've heard other stuff, you know, that he's done on his own, and it's been fine. So we have him in studio this morning as well to world premiere one of his new songs. So that's coming up. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat now.
Later on this morning, more chances to hook you up with tickets to join us this Friday for a Labor Day weekend kickoff party with the band Bush performing live. That's a nice way to go into a holiday weekend right there.
Yeah, with Bush. Ha!
It's a band, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, not what you're well, maybe after the show, but yeah.
I'd like to discuss the alternative of doing it Ralph's way.
Anyway, we'll have a chance for you to get in on that in just a few minutes here. Plus, Cesar Millan. quote unquote, joins us after the top of the hour. Lisa, I think we got some help for you with the problems you've been having with your boner at home.
Celebrity Boys Impersonated.
Boner is so difficult.
Yeah, Lisa's dog's name is Boner.
By the way, you weren't here yet, Kevin, but Lisa's dog is already starting to run the place. He's already starting to get his way because you know how Lisa has that hands-off, that laissez-faire hands-off dog raising policy.
She's got a free-range dog policy in her house.
It's not
just
really.
Let them run around, lay their eggs. You know, they have a very nice right.
They lay their eggs?
Existence. Yeah, yeah.
She walks into the house and says, "What do you want me to do?"
Right. It's weird because usually feral dogs don't live in somebody's apartment, but in this case, that's what's happening. So we'll talk to Cesar Millan about that coming up on the Kevin DeBeat Show. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Well, all everyone's talking about was the big news last night when they revealed the new cast of Dancing with the Stars.
Really, I hadn't heard that anywhere.
Woo! Big, big, big news.
Well, you were watching Bachelor Pad anyway, right?
They interrupted Bachelor Pad twice to give us the lowdown.
What?
Did they repeat it?
They just gave you half the cast, then they came back another 15 minutes later and gave you the rest. The other half of the cast. I was like, excuse me, I'm trying to watch Casey in Vienna right now. I have no time for your dancing BS.
Loveline, Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
Sadly, he was not included in lineup this season. Here is your fascinating, interesting, eclectic list of celebrities, in quotes, that are going to be on Dancing with the Stars this season. Talk show host, Ricky Lake, going to be on the Dancing with the Stars.
She was very popular back in the 2000s for a while, wasn't she?
She was, and she's coming back with yet another talk show. So I'm sure this is sort of priming the pump, trying to get an audience interested in her again.
Is she fat or thin right now?
That was going to be my question.
She is not fat.
She's mid. Okay.
But she's not really as thin as I've ever seen her, so she looks like a healthy weight. However, she looks fine.
Okay.
Kristen Cavallari of The Hills.
Oh.
Right.
And this is someone I haven't seen in 15 years, 20 years.
Wow.
Chyna Phillips of the band Wilson Phillips.
She the hot one?
She's the hot blonde. Oh, okay. Who was the lead singer of that band. Was an actress for a short period of time as well.
All right.
They had a cameo in Bridesmaids, Ralph, if you missed that. Wilson Phillips came out and played at the end of Bridesmaids.
Yeah. I haven't seen Chyna working other than that in any capacity. I think she's been home raising kids and doing that kind of stuff. So she's back in the limelight. Nancy Grace.
Oh.
No.
All right, that was the shocker right there.
Headline News Network.
But that's smart
personality, Nancy
because
Grace.
She's so hated that people will tune in to watch her fail, I think.
I'll tell you, she is as loved as she is hated, by the way.
Is she really?
She's got a hardcore group of fans who just live and die by Nancy Grace.
Someone on this planet enjoys her work?
Well, a great many people.
Wow.
Yeah. I made the mistake of tweeting something about Nancy Grace at one point, and I guess they've got some sort of watchdog committee
in
the Nancy Grace fan club or whatever.
Sure.
Seek that stuff out, and I was deluged with responses. People were furious that I dare to even attempt to criticize Nancy Grace. So, she's on the list.
Well, my fear is that she'll come on this show and she'll be likable. And then it will be much harder to hate her CNN show.
Yeah.
I don't think your fear is going to be realized. She has to be likable for that to happen.
Hope Solo.
All right.
Oh, yeah. From the U.S. women's soccer team.
That's good. That's good pull right there.
Yeah.
She's their hot goalie.
Yeah. She's attractive. Speaking of attractive, George Clooney's ex, Elizabeth Canales.
There you go.
Wow.
She is a stunner. Good to see her up there.
And she's famous for nothing except she used to date George Clooney, right?
Well, she's a big-time TV presenter in Italy.
Oh,
so
is she?
She's
okay.
Not famous here in the States, but she's a TV personality in Italy, so she's got that going for her.
Did you miss the part where she's super hot, Bean?
She is.
No,
way
no,
hot.
I got that. All I right. just I wonder if that's all it takes to be considered a yes. star now, is that you used to date somebody.
Yes.
They announced him last night as King of the Big Screen, David Arquette. David Arquette is going to be on the show.
He's what?
King of the Big Screen. He's actor, writer, producer, director, King of the Big Screen, David Arquette.
I love that.
That was better than Loveline Loverboy, in my opinion, in terms of spurious media tags.
King of the Big Screen.
Yeah.
If somebody came to you, Ralph, and you had not seen the announcement and said, all right, you have to guess who the King of the Big Screen is.
I'm thinking, is Spielberg going to be dancing? Really?
Right. How many names would you have to come up with until you didn't get to David Arquette?
David Arquette is like a young Orson Welles. He really can do it all.
I think you could answer every actor that would come into your mind, and it would never get to him.
World Free Peace of Love. No, I'm sorry.
Really?
He's going by Ron Artest these days, I guess. Ron Artest of the L.A. Lakers is on the list.
Well, certainly doesn't have basketball.
Style guru Carson Kressley. He was one of the original Queer Eyes for the Straight Guys. Whatever that show was.
All right.
All My Children star and Iraq War veteran J.R. Martinez. And God bless him. I am a fan. I think he's a brave, brave man and a talented actor. I've seen some of his work he does on that soap opera, All My Children. But J.R. Martinez is a serious burn victim.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He has extensive burning all over his head and face.
Oh, no.
And as much as I, again, admire this man, that's going to be a hard watch week in and week out. Although he is enormously bold and brave and gets out there and does not have no compunctions about performing in front of an audience, obviously, being an actor. So, but I was thinking, I was like, I don't know if America is going to be digging that so much week after week.
A lot of people will vote for him, though, just as a thank you.
Well, look, no. He's a tremendous story if you don't know the story behind this guy. But I thought that was an interesting choice. And then the BS choice is Rob Kardashian.
Sure. Yeah.
Of the Dancing Kardashians.
They're not?
Yeah, they're a big dance family. They're like the Osmonds of dance.
I don't think they dance.
Oh, yeah. Boy, do they dance.
Any of them.
All of them. Hey.
And you pick Rob if you can't get Kim, Khloe, Courtney, or the two young ones, right?
Well, Kim's already been on.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm surprised Kris Jenner hasn't forced way onto that show. But Khloe would be hilarious. I was hoping they would do that. But no, Rob Kardashian. The really the bottom rung of the Kardashians. The pond scum of the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Even below Jenner, I think. Even Bruce would be a better pull. Nobody cares about this guy.
Well, it's worse. He's meaningless on the show, but when you see him, you hate him instantly.
Yeah, he's a
dick. As well.
He's a dick.
Yeah.
Hey, but his mom was in the audience, by the way. Of course, they had a lot of close-ups on Kris Jenner. She had to be up there.
Sure.
And Chaz Bono, interestingly enough.
That will be interesting.
He is, of course, the former daughter of Sonny and Cher. Has a transgender and now is a man. And he is big.
Yeah.
He's like John Candy big.
Yeah,
so that's fascinating, I guess. They're hoping Cher will show up and be in the audience, right? To root on the...
She alive?
Sure.
She's alive? Cher alive? Yes, Cher.
She's alive. Kevin.
Okay. Yeah. So you're
thinking of Sunny, Kevin.
Yeah.
There's your big lineup. There's your big Dance with the Stars lineup. Please enjoy.
Sure doesn't matter, does it? It's going to be number one no matter what.
You're absolutely right, Kevin. You're absolutely right. And while we're talking about ratings... Another inexplicable phenomenon. The MTV Video Music Awards. Highest audience ever for that program.
Really?
Yeah. How about that?
It's just stunning.
It just...
12.4 million viewers tuned in for its biggest audience ever for the VMAs. It's 9% more than last year.
Wow.
It's a network record. Biggest rated broadcast of anything on MTV.
So no Bose, no host. All of that
a lot of
works
hosts,
for
but
them.
No host. Yeah. No yeah, host. Apparently, all the just a cacophony of crap they threw up there. Just all kinds of stuff going on. The male impersonators and snakes and cube hats and everything. Apparently, they'll just watch anything they throw up there.
I have a theory, by the way, Ralph. I don't know if this holds water or not. And no pun intended. But
put in a bucket.
I think that after 3 days of nonstop, full-time watching Hurricane Irene coverage for Philadelphia, New York, Boston, Washington, D.C., all these major markets, I think, you know, the bulk of the storm had passed by Sunday night, and people were in the mood, desperate, in fact, for anything light and fluffy.
I think
after worrying about their houses.
The vast majority of the people who watch the VMAs would be hard-pressed to tell you that there was a hurricane anywhere in America over that weekend.
Really?
That's so true.
I don't think the MTV and the Weather Channel are sharing a lot of audience.
Yeah, but I mean, if you live in any of those big, big cities I mentioned, it was pretty hard to not be invested in the storm. And then once that was gone, I think you're looking for some diversion.
There's a lot of other things to watch.
You land on the VMAs.
Yeah.
It's inexplicable then. If that isn't what happened, maybe it's the Jersey Shore lead-in. Maybe that's the key this year.
Jersey Shore also got big numbers.
Boo!
Boo indeed. Today's celebrity birthday is one of our favorites. Lewis Black celebrates his birthday today. Lewis, 63 years old today. Actor Michael Chiklis. You loved him on The Shield. You loved him on Kamish. You loved him as The Thing in the Fantastic Four movies. You didn't love him so much on No Ordinary Family. But he's great. 48 years old today. Cameron Diaz is 39. Aaron Barrett of Real Big Fish is 37 years old today. Andy Roddick, tennis player, 29 years old. And TV personality Lisa Ling celebrates her 38th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Pretty big day here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kind of excited about our guest next hour, the great Noel Gallagher.
Me too.
From Oasis. Going to be joining us just after the top of the hour. It's been a long time since we've caught up with him. And there's a lot new in the world of Noel Gallagher since the last time we spoke. So that's on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's welcome our friend DJ Omar Khan into the studio. Hey, Omar.
DJ
how are
Omar
you?
Khan.
What's happening, man? Good.
Now, when they come around every year to the Kevin and Bean Show and they say the MTV Video Music Awards are happening and there's going to be an opportunity for you to interview some people, most of us, having lived through that experience before and knowing how sucky it is, we run from it. This year, you were quick to put your hand up and say, I want to go.
Yeah,
why?
I'll do it. Just because I've never done anything like this before, thought it'd be a new experience, and we can't rely on Beer Mug for anything, so
I just said,
and I would like to suggest, after hearing this tape, and I'm sure you'll come to the same conclusion, Bean, that we use Omar every time.
Yeah, really? You know, I had a pretty good time, dude.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you? But here's the thing. In case people are wondering why I suggest that we run from the glamour and excitement of MTV, it's a sucky radio roundtable thing where they bring out the dredges. You can't even imagine how lame the celebrities are that they trot out. You go, oh, MTV, my God, I'm going to go interview Jay-Z and I'm going to interview Beyonce. I mean, you just have this whole list in your mind.
Jay-Z and Kanye are going to be sitting there. I get to talk to him about the whole album.
Yeah, Lady Gaga or something.
Sure,
right. No, not even a little bit. Wish was there and Little Twist was there.
Yeah. See, that's exactly the, and you get, oh, this guy's the third lead on their new series, Awkward. Do you want to talk to him? That's usually, so who are you excited about seeing?
Stephen Dorff.
Which is Stephen Dorff and Nick Swardson were there, and they were promoting their movie Bucky Larson.
Born to be... I forget the whole name of it. And so did you, by the way.
So did I,
This is Omar talking to them.
Stephen Dorff, you have the best name in the movie. Is your name Dick Shadow in the movie?
Yeah, that's a lot of dick.
A lot of dick in the movie. When's that come out? I don't have any paperwork in front of me.
September
they just kind of threw
9th.
Me. September 9th, okay.
September 9th.
All right, so you're going to go check out Bucky Larson.
Born to be a star.
Born to be a star.
You know what happens is, you know, I get there and Nick and Steven, they were about to take off. So I wanted to get him in.
Right.
So I'm like furiously trying to hook up everything and everything's not really working properly.
Yeah.
So I just hit record and go.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, under the impression that they would hand you some sort of paperwork.
Nope.
I got nothing.
No.
Yeah.
You would hope.
Just go. You know, just go. They sit down and you go.
Well, Nick Swardson's going to be in on the Kevin and Bean Show as a guest next week, so we'll find out from him what it was like on the other side of the table to do such an awful interview. Yeah.
Wait until you hear the Kevin moment that Omar had
when he
was talking to Everlast.
Yeah,
this is
pretty good.
Yes, it's been a while since we've had Everlast on the show. We used to play a song. What was the name of that?
What It's Like?
I don't remember the name.
Speaking of guitar, you know, you had, you know, one of your... One of your biggest hits that we play on K-Rock, the name escapes me. What's it like? Sorry. What It's Like.
Yes! And Dave feeds me the wrong answer.
And Dave's right there with the wrong answer.
I was looking at Dave like, please, God, help me. I can't come up with
this. Omar, you should know by now, just by watching me squirm, that if something's not coming to you, people will not rescue you.
Yeah, totally. And doesn't it sound like Everlast just wanted to hang me out to dry?
Yes.
He did not care. He's
he
like,
didn't jump in either.
This a-hole.
Yeah. Of course. Constance Zimmer from Entourage.
Oh, yeah.
He gets to sit down and talk about the last season. He's really only got, yes?
By the way, I am the guy who doesn't know anything about showbiz or any of these shows.
Right. That's true.
You got to keep that in mind, too. I'm interviewing these people. I had no idea who they are.
Any surprises in this final season?
Yes. It was a lot of surprises.
Does Ari die?
No, Ari does not die.
Because that would be a surprise.
No.
All right, so that's it. Does Ari die? Now he's talking to the stars of Shark Night 3D, and he doesn't get the name of this right either.
Yeah.
And Dave has to jump in, and then, well, you'll hear.
Hello. I am with Joel and Chris from Shark 3D. How's it going, guys?
Shark Night 3D comes out September 2nd. We're excited. You should be, too.
I'm not that excited. You're overexcited.
No, but it's fun. Look, it's, you know, it's sharks in a lake.
Don't sharks die in fresh water, by the way?
They're not fresh
water. What kind of bullshit?
There is.
I love Omar.
I love him
so much.
Sharknado. You're too excited.
Yeah, way too excited.
You're too excited.
How do you tell an actor about his project that he is excited about, probably?
Yeah, guys are douche. Like, no.
So then you followed up with Joel.
Josh, what kind of, what's your character play?
Joel.
Sorry.
Unbelievable.
Keep in mind, I don't know who these people are. I didn't have time to write down their names, you know? So I'm like, you know, 5 minutes into talking to them. How am I going to remember their names?
I got Omar's back. The problem with these things is that the people you want and that you have information about never sit down in front of you.
Right.
Everybody else that you don't want and you don't know anything about, they sit down in front of you.
Absolutely.
I did no prep. Like, Dave, the King of Mexico, has done a couple of these. He's gone with Mike, and he's always like, dude, they give you a list, but chances are 75% of the people aren't going to be there, so
correct.
Don't waste your time.
Right. Well, at least he was there with What's It Like.
He did get my back on that one.
And then poor little Rebecca Black.
Yes!
Oh, no. All right, now, do we have time for this, or do we have to? I fear we may have to save this for later, because look at
what?
The
clock.
I know, it's so awesome, I understand, but I just don't think we have time to really enjoy it.
Wow.
Buzzkill.
I guess you're right.
What? It's worth hanging around for, though, I'll tell you that.
Are we going to do it next?
You want to?
Yes.
Because I think it deserves our
time. I insist.
All you know is that DJ Omar Khan has cartoon hate for her Little Friday song.
Yeah, dude.
And what must it be like for him as the Incredible Hulk sitting across the table from poor little Rebecca Black, who, let's face it, she's not very talented, but she's 14. That's kid gloves, right?
Yeah.
Mean kid gloves as an interviewer?
Yes, as an interviewer.
Do you know that Omar doesn't own kid gloves?
No, he doesn't.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back with Rebecca Black from the Friday song and Omar and his cartoon hate. Next.
I think I have talent on some level.
Okay, now that's the voice of Rebecca Black, 13 at the time. A lot of people disagreed with her assessment that she had some talent at some level when she had the worldwide internet sensation called Friday.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
I thought we had heard the last of Rebecca Black, but apparently she was offered to DJ Omar Khan at the MTV Video Music Awards Roundtable the other day, and you did the right thing, and you said, hey, let me talk to her.
No, absolutely. And you know what, you guys, what we forgot to mention is that, man, it is a hip-hop nation. We were the only station there.
No question.
We were the only rock station there.
The world is that way. Radios are that way. Cities are that way. That's just the way of the world.
Yeah. So the roundtable was from noon to 5, and I live in a 909. So it was like, you know, 3 o'clock. I'm sticking around till the end, just, you know, hanging out. So it was about an hour where nobody even came by to our station because, you know, I mean, Little Twist is going to talk to, you know, K-Rock.
Right.
So it's about 5 o'clock and Rebecca Black walks in. I'm like, oh, gold! I have to talk to her,
right? Can you make that sound again?
Ah!
Okay.
And then so she sits down at this pop station, okay? And this is kind of like what sets me off. Is that they treated her like a real artist, and they were excited to talk to her. Yeah.
Like she's Katy Perry or
somebody? Yeah, like the two hosts started singing the song, like, oh, it's Rebecca Black. And I was like, oh, no, are you kidding me? So we had the engineer. I was like, because Rebecca Black wasn't going to talk to us.
Of course.
So I had the engineer. I'm like, dude, we need to go talk to her. So her people came up to me. He's like, hey, you know, you guys are from the Kevin and Bean Show. We know how you guys are. She's 14. I was like, I'll be super nice to her.
Oh, no.
Yeah, totally.
I didn't know that part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like, I got this, you know.
Don't worry about it.
Don't sweat it. It'll be cool.
So this is Omar and 14-year-old Rebecca Black.
First of all, what day is it today?
It's Friday. It is Friday.
Oh, come on. You have to give it to me.
No.
It's what made you, and you're not going to. It's Friday.
Oh.
A little something. Come on. You got to hook me up or I'm not moving on.
He wants her to sing.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
That's what I'm talking about.
Makes her sing. Sits there and waits and says, I'm
she
not gonna move on.
Did not want to sing. She looked at me like, no way. And I'm just like, oh, I'm not going anywhere.
I got all day.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I was like, I want to hear it. You know what I'm
that's
saying?
That's a terrible thing to do to somebody, though, Omar,
but
to put them on the spot.
Song.
But you don't go up to somebody and make them sing their one hit when they're one hit wonder.
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
yes, you do.
You do for Omar. And then he proceeds to tell her, you know, our opinion of her music.
I particularly, and my bosses, and, you know, we're a rock station, really don't like the pop music, and we don't like how they're taking people and, you know, just kind of like, you know, making them stars, you know, just because they pay for it. What do you have to say to people who actually, you know, do feel that way?
Well, I mean,
it just, that's, I mean, this, all I did it was.
All right, good enough. Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, were her people staring at you yet?
Not yet.
They weren't?
Not yet. Or maybe
you made
I was...
her sing. They must not have been paying attention. You
maybe.
Made her sing, and you told her that we didn't like her music.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was still all good.
Okay. So then Omar starts to talk about the lyrics of the Friday song. He's really going in depth with Rebecca Black.
Because I'm not going to burn any bridges here.
Let's talk about the lyrics to that song, which are brilliant.
You have to know that those lyrics are ridiculous.
Well, I mean, they're simple.
Yeah, but come on. What comes after Thursday, Friday, then Saturday, then Sunday?
Just
say the lyrics are dumb.
Would you say dumb?
I
won't say they're dumb. I mean, because I really just thought, you know what, this is my last try at this, and if it doesn't work out, then whatever.
You're 14. How could this be your last try at it?
I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Your last try. You're 14.
But the thing is,
you got your rest of your life in front of you.
All right, so he starts out forcing her to say that the lyrics are dumb, and then he's upset that she's not going to stick with it longer.
Yeah. What's her deal, dude? Come on.
You hated the song she did.
Yeah.
She should stop.
Yes.
When she admits that she should stop,
uh-huh,
you turn and go the other direction and go, you're only 14. You should hang on to this forever.
It is funny, though, Omar, that she made it sound like this has been a lifelong struggle. I put decades into this, but I'm at my wit's end here. If it doesn't hit this time, I'm getting out of the business.
Man, it took for everything in my body to not just unleash the wrath of, you know, my hate on her. I was pretty nice for me.
For you.
For
yeah,
me.
You're a hell of a nicer person than you are to those of us that work with you.
Yeah.
But for her, it must have been torture.
I don't care.
A, you made her sing.
Yeah.
B, you told her the lyrics were stupid and you wanted to get her to admit it.
Yeah.
Now you're yelling at her because she's not going to stick to it.
That's right. I think at this point, you know, the people, her people started looking at me kind of like, oh, you wrap it up, wrap it up.
Hey, how about the cut sign?
Yeah.
Now, I respect your honesty. I'm glad it wasn't just another, like, suck up, oh, you're great, hey, what's next for you? I respect that. But was there a tiny, like, voice in the back of your head going, dude, she's 14. Seriously, cut her some slack.
No.
Omar, I'd like to speak for Omar. He used to have that voice, Bean, up until about 4 or 5 years ago, and since then it has been quenched.
That's right.
It's gone. There's
I hope, like, in the future she looks back at this interview and thinks, oh, you know what? That dude was right.
He did me a favor.
That's right. You know?
All right.
I want you to admit that Friday lyrics are not smart.
Okay, so after all of that now, because she wouldn't admit that the Friday lyrics aren't smart or dumb, now he's going back to it and making her admit it again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to diss on my own song. You're not going to get me to do that.
Come on.
Yeah.
So she rebuffed you, and she said no. She would not agree that the song was dumb.
Yeah, but I continued. Is the next clip you have is... Oh.
No, that's it.
Okay.
That's it. That's Omar and Rebecca Black.
Yeah.
But she couldn't have been happy.
But he was ecstatic.
We've been there, and you can tell, like, they'll get up and they'll walk right over to their people and go.
Yeah. Not until that point did I think, oh my God, I thought I was like, oh, I'm wasting my time. This sucks. And then when this happened, I was like, yes, it was all worth it.
Wait a minute, though. You with Rebecca Black was all worth it.
Yeah.
But you with Everlast was all worth it as well. Let's be honest.
Speaking of guitar, you know, you had, you know, one of your biggest hits that we play on K-Rock. The name escapes me. What's it like? Sorry.
What it's like.
What it's like.
So this weekend kicks off the Labor Day weekend, and we're going to be celebrating.
Wait, the weekend's going to kick off the weekend?
Friday.
I'm confused.
Is the kickoff to the Labor Day weekend. We're going to kick it off with the band Bush, and you can join us by going to the website, krock.com.
Doing a lot of kicking. That's all
it
I know.
It is 6:52.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. By the way, Breakfast with Red Hot Chili Peppers was yesterday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you missed it, you can listen to it. I think you can watch it. I think there's video.
There's video,
And audio both at kevinandbean.com. You can see the Chili Peppers breakfast from yesterday.
Possible.
Go watch
the
whole thing.
It can't be yesterday, and then suddenly we've got video of it today.
Yes.
Too soon. I know. Normally,
in that kind of world.
Normally, it takes us, specifically, a good week or two.
Yes.
Right. So this is odd, but it is up, and you can watch the entire video with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Lies, all lies. Pretty sweet. All right. Noel Gallagher joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I had a chance to meet him in the parking lot.
Yeah.
That was one of those moments where I've been such an Oasis fan for so long. When you meet somebody, you get a little
starstruck. You know, we've been doing this a long time. You guys longer than me. I've been doing it a while. And you get sort of used to celebrities, I find. But there are some people, I mean, I'm like, wow.
And you don't run into them much.
Right. It's like, wow, that's a guy, that's a huge talent.
So what did you say?
Yeah. I went, I'm a big fan.
Perfect.
That's what I got out pretty much. Perfect. So.
And did he say anything back to you?
He said, no, thank you.
Call you a tosser or anything?
No, he said, thank you very much.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Let's get to the showbiz news. But before I do, how about some passes to give away to a very special advanced screening of a movie called Creature?
Yeah!
What's it about? That I'm looking forward to enormously. It is sort of a throwback monster movie. The old school days. You know, I'm a big fan of the low budget cheesy monster movies.
Yes,
having been the star of Sharktopus,
one of my stars,
the star.
Okay.
Really?
Well, yeah.
You know, ask anyone, they'll tell you.
Get a line,
except maybe Eric Roberts. He won't tell you that, but I will. And Creature promises to be a lot of fun. It is, like I said, an old fashioned creature feature. It's about the Louisiana Bayou. A bunch of young folks go exploring through there, and they run across something. I dare say it's a creature.
Is it a creature?
I would say that, yes. Mm. The producers promise lots of nudity.
All right.
Girl-on-girl action.
Okay.
And gore. What more do you need for a summertime movie?
Nothing.
You know, interestingly enough, the producer of this film is Sid Sheinberg, and he was the head of Universal in the 70s. He was the guy who gave Steven Spielberg the gig to do Jaws.
No kidding.
Yeah. So the guy knows something about a monster movie. That's all I'm saying. If you'd like to go, we've got tickets for an advanced screening of the movie on Thursday, September the 8th. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, September the 9th, but you can see it before anybody else. If you're one of the first two callers, first lucky two callers at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Now for your tickets to Creature. Beyonce was revealing her pregnancy on Sunday at the MTV Video Music Awards. Meanwhile, her sister, Solange.
What's up? I'm sorry?
Solange.
I'm sorry?
Solange Knowles.
Hmm.
She was getting arrested in Miami.
For what?
She was trying to muscle her way into a Miami nightclub. There was an off-duty police officer on the door. He was working as security.
Oops.
He refused to let her in. Because she was carrying a giant inflatable banana.
Isn't that a good thing?
There is a no giant inflatable banana policy at this particular nightclub.
Don't you just usher her right in?
With the giant inflatable banana?
Yes.
Well, he chose not to.
Aww.
She started screaming it was racially motivated.
What?
He was ma'am, it's not because you're black. It's because you are carrying a giant inflatable banana.
Why did she find it necessary to take the giant inflatable banana in? Isn't that the type of thing you could leave in the car and still be fine in the bar?
I don't know the answer to that question. She claims the cop pulled a gun on her, threatening to deflate the banana.
I will shoot your banana.
All right, back away from the banana, ma'am. I want to see your license and registration for that banana, please.
Wouldn't you love to
That's
hear?
That's racist.
So, wouldn't you love to hear that conversation for real?
She is complaining to the Miami Beach Police Department, and they said Internal Affairs will be looking into this. I'm sure they will. I'm sure it's at the top of their priority list of
That's
things
fantastic.
To look into. But, yeah, so she had problems with her banana. Sometimes
wow.
That's how it works.
She had if I remember correctly, Ralph, she had a pop career for a minute.
Yeah.
And didn't she have a baby or two? Very, very young. Wasn't she like 16 or 17 when she got hers?
I have to look into my Solange Knowles notebook. Let me see if I can look up the details of all her childbearing years
deep
and see
background
what I can come
on the
up
perp.
With.
I'd like, Bean, for you to do that research and then keep it to yourself.
Like that. So there's an opportunity for that to happen. Justin Bieber's music videos were pulled off of YouTube yesterday.
Uh-oh.
This is sweet. This is spectacular. Some genius filed phony copyright claims with YouTube. You know, they're so knee-jerk over there at YouTube now.
If you say,
oh, no, that's mine. They go, oh, well, we'll just shut this down and we'll do some investigating. So someone just randomly claimed that they were the owners of the copyright for those videos.
For every video.
For every Justin Bieber
awesome.
Video. And so they pulled them all off the site yesterday. You could not find the Biebs on YouTube. Vivo, which controls Justin's microsite, tweeted that the matter is being investigated. But you can always see all of Justin's videos on Vivo if you want to go there. But YouTube was Bieberless yesterday, and a nation mourned.
I don't think I heard anything about that.
I didn't either. Mm-mm. I was too busy carrying a giant banana around. Yeah. And Sunday's Jersey Shore episode, more than 8 million viewers tuned in, which is...
a lot?
A lot, yeah. Because everybody wanted to see that big fight with Ronnie and the situation, where Ronnie just punches him so hard, knocks him out. It gives him a concussion, and he's laying there on the floor because of the big fight, because the fist fight those two guys had.
That's how they sold it
they told me it was going to be a giant fight, and they were finally going to throw down, and Ronnie was just going to clock situation so hard that he was actually going to cause concussion.
That didn't
happen. And he would go crumbling to the ground like a pile of
bricks. That's not how it happened. Actually, no, situation just ran his own head into a cement wall.
What?
Literally turned and ran into the wall. If you haven't seen it, you must.
Well, you'd think they would have warned us about that instead of trying
That's not brown rice!
Trying to sell it like it was brown rice. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Louis Black from The Daily Show is 63 years old today. Actor Michael Chiklis, 48 years old. I love Chiklis.
I do, too.
He's a talented guy. Did you ever see him play Curly of the Three Stooges in the TV movie about the Three Stooges?
What do you think?
I'm guessing you have. I'm here to tell you he did an excellent, excellent job in portraying a show business icon that a lot of people
that's a shocker.
Already know.
He seems like a certain kind of actor, action or whatever.
And yet you'd be surprised to know he's a huge Three Stooges fan, so he was happy to do it. He is 48 years old today. Lars Fredriksson of Rancid is 40 years old. Cameron Diaz celebrates her 39th birthday. Lisa Ling celebrates her 38th. And tennis player Andy Roddick is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Man responsible for many of those songs, Noel Gallagher, joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His new band is called the High Flying Birds, with an album coming out on November the 8th. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Noel Gallagher back to the show. Hey, Noel, how are you?
I'm as well as any Englishman can be at this time of the moment.
I will say that the first question that we were going to ask you has already been answered as you sat down and we realized you have a new band because you had to get out of the house. That's where we're at right now, right, Noel?
Yeah, well, you know. We said, oh, we're glad you're putting a new album out. And I said, so's my wife. I get and I was asking Lisa.
Yes.
Lisa here, what is it with women when they kind of like, for years I never spent enough time in the house. You never spent enough time here.
You're never home. You're not seeing your kids. Yeah.
As soon as I make a career change, it's like, she said to me, so when are you going to get back in the studio? I think I'm helping out around the house, but she thinks I'm annoying her.
Yeah.
You're in the way. You're absolutely
I do my best to try and keep out of the way, but they just want it to themselves.
Yes. Well, they have a system. I think Kevin said it perfectly well. They get used to a new normal of how things run, how the household operates while you're gone, and then when you step back into the mix, all of a sudden they can't do it the way they like to do it.
But I wouldn't mind if I was like an untidy person, but I'm not. I'm really tidy.
Do you think you're actually doing some help?
Whether I'm doing any help or not, it's my house.
Well,
if you're there and you're not helping, it's not cool.
Right. Are you a guy who, your share of chores? I mean, would you be as likely to wash the dishes afterwards, after dinner?
No. Come on.
No, he's
Come
laughing.
On. Come on.
But right. Your wife? We found the problem.
So, there you go.
You're the dishwasher. You heard of the dishwasher.
That's what I was
going to say, yeah. Okay. Still to be done.
You heard of the dishwasher.
Yeah, they just stick it in, press the blue button.
Do you put you the go. Dishes in and push the blue button?
I've been known to put a dish in a dishwasher.
Once or twice.
Yeah, once. Wow. Yeah. I'm good at that kind of thing. Yeah. Okay.
How about helping the kids with the homework? Is that an old thing?
Yeah, I do struggle with that.
Yeah.
I do struggle with that because, as I said to my 11-year-old daughter, I left school a long time ago, so you're on your own.
Kevin, didn't you come in one day and realize that your kids had eclipsed you in the smarts department? Oh, they were way past you?
They're so much smarter than I am. It's just, it's not fair, and I don't know what to do.
I got my first computer at Christmas.
This Christmas?
Are you
this
serious? Christmas.
It actually says my first computer written on it.
So you didn't have a computer before this Christmas?
Yeah, before this Christmas. So I got an iPad as well, and I'm 44 years of age. My four-year-old son mastered it before I did.
Isn't it scary?
Easy, because they just attempt it with no fear.
Yeah.
When I first plugged my computer in, if you could have seen when man first invented fire,
right?
I was like poking the keyboard, the pad with one finger, my tongue sticking out, going, ooh. Ooh.
Did your son say, "Dad, you're an idiot. Let me help"?
And he was just going, he's on the screen and he's doing all that kind of thing. And I was like,
"Did you have to ask him to load up your iPod? Did you have to tell him I like these bands? Can you put the music on?"
No, no, no. I'm just saying, like the iPod with the you know, like touching the screen and all that. Because we're older, you kind of approach it with a little bit of fear and think, "Wow, am I going to launch a rocket somewhere
in
Kazakhstan?"
Yeah,
you know. And, you know, they're just like, yeah, move over. Oh, man, this is how you do it.
Now, speaking of kids, I do...
It's hilarious.
I do have to ask you this question, and then we'll quickly deal with you and Liam, because how long have you been asked about Liam? I mean, your whole life? Since you were 3 and 4?
No, not my whole life. There was a serene period of 5 years before my mum got pregnant.
Oh, I get it.
Okay.
Right. And, you know, it was kind of...
Because you've
the
had
glory days.
A lot
you know,
of
I look back on those with rose tinted glasses. The sun always shined.
Sure. You had a lot of fights with
them. It was all sunshine and lollipops.
And you guys argue a lot. And then you broke up, and then you've
People in bands argue a lot.
Of course.
You know, that's just the way it is.
Of course. I would think it's worse with brothers.
I've never been in a band with anybody other than my brother. So
but let's talk about that and get it out of the way first.
Okay.
So Liam, what? He didn't show up for a
show?
It
was 2 years ago yesterday, Noel. I don't know if you recognize that anniversary that just passed.
Yeah, I got a little shiver.
Yeah, 2 years ago yesterday, and there have been conflicting reports, and the story seems to still be changing as to what happened that night. And I don't even know that it matters what happened that night.
No,
what matters
matter.
Is you guys were at the point where you just didn't want to work together anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It was just kind of like, you know, we're done.
I heard you, one of your quotes was, "I'm not tired of Oasis, I'm tired of my brother."
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I've got to say, I love being in that group. It was an amazing thing that we created. We came from nothing to being one of the biggest bands in the world.
I agree.
And you know, we played stadiums all over the place. And it was a shame it had to end like it did. But in hindsight, I think everybody would agree now that it's probably for the best.
Sure.
You know, but at the time it
but
was...
But you've been the main songwriter from the beginning, right? I mean...
I guess if we got a percentage of all Oasis music, I probably wrote about 90% of it all.
Right.
Yeah.
Was there even a moment where you thought, I'll just go out and be Oasis? It'll just be a different man without Liam and still be Oasis or not?
Well, no, because A, I never really liked the name.
You never liked Oasis?
It sounded like a reggae band.
Okay. Right, but there's only two of you. Couldn't you have changed it at any point?
Well, he came up with the name.
Right.
We kind of owned it 50-50, so not one of us couldn't use it without the other's permission.
I see.
But I, you know.
But you didn't like it.
Oasis?
Yeah. But that was the name of your band.
Yeah, but the name became something. At the beginning, I was like, this is great, but can we change the name?
Okay, so at the beginning you weren't so sure, but then it was something.
The Beatles isn't a great name, is it? But it became something because of the music.
Beatles
right?
are terrible
exactly.
name, actually, for a band,
yeah.
I would think.
Yeah,
but
it's not. I wouldn't like get into an argument over who owns the name.
Okay,
like,
yeah, I understand.
Whatever.
But let me ask you this, and again, we have a lot of excitement for what's about to happen with you and the new record, and we're very excited to talk about it. We just want to bury this once and for all. So, August 28th or whatever it was, 2009. So you posted to the website, "Hey, there's no more Oasis, we're breaking up." And then you know you guys have fought before, and you'd had tiffs before, you'd walked out on each other before. But a month goes by. Was there a thought in the back of your mind? You know, we're probably going to pick it back up and go at it again. Or did you know definitively you would never even consider working with them again?
I got to be honest. So when I sat in the car outside the gig in Paris and made the decision to go, that was it. I knew that was it.
That was it.
Because I could have sat there. We were on stage in about 10 minutes, and it was like, right, either go back in there and do it or leave. And I thought, if I leave, that's it. And it was just
because he wasn't there. So you would have had to go do it yourself?
Oh, no, he was there.
He was there. Okay.
Not mentally.
Okay.
Yeah, he turned up.
But, yeah. But, I was just, it was just like, look. And once I said to the driver.
Let's go.
Vamos, you know, that was it.
And he said, that's not French, sir. Right?
Yeah, and I went back to the hotel and That was it.
How long after that was it before you two spoke again, if you've even spoken since?
We haven't spoken since.
Not a word? 2 years. Not even Christmas, birthdays, mom's house, none?
Nope.
Nothing?
No.
Will you?
I'd have thought eventually, you know.
You would have thought by now.
I would have. Well, no, because when we were in the band, outside of when our tour's finished, we never really hung out.
Right. Like,
I've got three kids. He's got kids. We've got our own universe outside of the band. And
of course.
The band was what kept all of us as individuals together as a group.
Right.
We never really hung out in between tours. So I would go in between tours and not see them for like a year or 2 years. So that's not. Mm-hmm.
But even then, you wouldn't even speak to him for that time? Just neither of you would reach out for just some weird reason, the family's dinner.
Fortunately, this
Christmas,
is not Oprah.
Thanksgiving.
People from the north of England don't reach out.
Okay.
Well, you know, now that you've got a theater.
We suffer in silence.
Sure, certainly. That's the British stoic way. Now that you have a computer, though, there's the opportunity to do email. Maybe you've got an iPhone or something now, a little text might be.
I can't say. An email takes me a good 45 minutes to get one sentence out.
You should have your 4-year-old
right,
typing.
What I could never understand is, so I get a computer and I'm looking at it. Who decided where to put the letters on the keypad?
I don't know.
It's like a typewriter.
I don't know.
Who decided to put...
I don't know.
Why didn't they just put them from left to right? Logically.
Well, because they put him in a position where
I tried to type in the word question once. It took me 15 minutes.
you will get better at that, Noel.
I sent an email to someone that just said, I have a question for you. And I was like, why is Q all... Why is it all the way over there? That's nonsense.
So you learned to type.
No.
Yeah, you know the answer, Noel, is it is arranged so that the letters that are most commonly used are the easiest ones to reach with your fingers. That's why Q is up in the upper left-hand corner, because you don't use it very much. And you would learn how to do it. I mean, if you use it a little bit, it would become second nature to you.
Well, if anybody's listening from Apple, I hereby patent the logical keyboard from left to right.
Okay.
A on the left, Z on the far right, the
there
numbers underneath. You heard it here first on the Kevin and Bean show.
Ladies and gentlemen, another million-dollar idea. How about that? All right, we have much ground to cover. Our guest is Noel Gallagher. Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds is the new album. It's coming out on November 8th. We're going to world premiere a song when we return, kids. This is has never been heard anywhere in the world on the radio. Am I right, Mr. Gallagher? That's correct. We're world premiering If I Had a Gun next.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I haven't even heard it on the radio.
All right, let's do it. Right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is always a rare treat when we get to world premiere a brand new song here on the Kevin and Bean Show, but I'm a little bit nervous, Kevin, because Noel Gallagher is sitting in the room with us. What if it sucks? I mean, seriously, how awkward is that going to be at the end of the song if we look at him and go, thanks,
you'll
Noel.
You'll obviously be professionals and you say, my God.
How great was that?
Good God, how'd you keep coming up with stuff like that?
We've done that many times.
I'll say thank you very
Let me
much.
Just ask, this is called If I Had a Gun.
Yeah.
Anything we need to know before we play it? Like, first of all, do you? And second of all, what's it about?
No. It's a direct, it's a love song. And it's...
As all songs with gun in the title are.
it's not directed at any exes or anything like that. You know, it's just... It's if I had a gun, my Lord, I would use it to signify how much I love this person that I'm singing this song about, kind of
thing. Right. World premiere, brand new song from Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, If I Had a Gun.
Stop the world and make you mine, and then
Song.
It is.
That's a love. I thought you were kidding.
No, it's a proper,
that's a love song.
It's a proper love song.
If I Had a Gun, world premiere from Noel Gallagher and the High Flying Birds. I'm sorry, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. The album comes out November 8th. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I love that.
Can I give you some big news, Noel? You ready for this? You're going to be very excited. You're going to be gobsmacked, as your people say. You ready?
Yes, I smack my gob.
Joel writes in, listening to us in Austin, Texas. And by the way, let me say hello to Noel Gallagher fans from around the world. The internet was quite a buzz yesterday with word that you were going to be coming in to bring that new record. So we got a lot of people listening around the globe right now to hear that new song. But Joel writes in, hey guys, I heard Noel say, if anyone is listening at Apple, well, I am listening at Apple. I will take his idea to someone to see if we can get the custom Noel keyboard as an option. If not, maybe we can create an app for the iPad that has that style keyboard. If you weren't with us, Noel was saying he would rather have the keyboard arranged like the letters in the alphabet
are. This is how you change the world.
Yep.
That's how you're going to be. That's how you change the world.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Put it out there.
You're a genius. Right.
Thank you. Well,
now,
thank you very
the
much.
Problem is, of course, it sounds like it'd be pretty easy for them to create an app like this for an iPad. But you, based on the fact that you just got a computer last Christmas, you're about 20 years away from getting an iPad. So that's not going to help you.
Hey, let me ask you this question. Who wrote most of the lyrics for Oasis? Was it you as well?
Yeah.
You wrote the lyrics as well.
When you wrote a song, you wrote it separately. There was never any collaborations. Liam might have collaborated with Gem and Andy a couple of times, but I was always self-contained as a songwriter.
How about with the new band, with High Flying Birds? Is it all you, or is it more collaborative?
Well, I must point out, it's not a band. It's that Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds is a name that I came up with because I didn't think... I was passing a venue in London one night, and I was kind of, could I imagine my name in lights above this thing? And I thought, my name's hardly David Bowie.
Right.
Or Ziggy Stardust or something like that.
Right.
So I thought, maybe there's a way I could come up and reinvent myself without reinventing myself. And one day I had the radio on in England, and a Man of the World was playing by Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac, and the DJ announced it, and I thought, wow, what if I was called Noel Gallagher's something?
Something, right.
And then a few months passed, and I was listening to Jefferson Airplane's first album, and they've got a track in it called High Flying Bird, and I had a eureka moment, and I thought, this is the coolest thought I've ever had, ever.
Okay, then and how long until you realized it's not the coolest
no,
idea?
No, it's still the coolest, coolest thought I've ever
okay,
had.
Okay, all right.
And so Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds
is not
a band. It's just me and the guys that are in the band are making
a minimum wage, and you could fire them at any minute.
They're wankers,
and they get no
vote. Basically, how it works. Yeah. they are.
But Noel, you touched on something that I am fascinated with. You've sold, I don't know, it's got to be north of 50 million albums, right?
Well, I know.
Okay, tell me.
Tell us.
55 million.
55 million.
Okay, so 55. Yet, for some reason, you still don't think your name deserves to be in lights? Your name is at the equal of having David Bowie's name in lights at this point in 2011. You know that, right?
Well,
you know that you're the deal.
I'm just a humble jobbing minstrel trying to make my way in the world. I wouldn't put myself up with David Bowie, but thank you very much. But, it's done now.
The High Flying Birds. That's
it. Right.
It's all printed.
All right.
The logo's gone in.
All right.
And let me add a P.S. to that. What is it like for you as a songwriter? And you've created a lot of songs that I'm sure are very special to you, that you love. And I won't ask you to pick a favorite because I know what songwriters say to that question.
Supersonic.
I'm not going to answer that. It's like making kids.
Because it's like kids. Right?
Exactly. Well, except they're like your kids, and who's your favorite kid? You know?
If you tell the truth, you got one.
It's the oldest.
You got one. Okay.
It's the four-year-old.
But my question was going to be... the four-year-old, right?
He's going to answer that, too.
The cute one. My question for you is, as a songwriter, as a fan of pop music your whole life, when you write something like Wonderwall, and then a few years pass, and people not only remember it, but they love it maybe even more than ever, and the polls come out every year in your country where they go, what's the greatest song of all time? And now it's Wonderwall, and it's Bohemian Rhapsody, and it's those songs at the top, like songs that are going to be played in 100 years, maybe 1,000 years. What's that feel like to be that guy who wrote that song that is revered like that?
I don't know. I
who would know?
I personally have never sat down and thought about that. It's when you the validation you get is when you get on stage and people start singing it back to you. But I don't think about it because it's what I do. I write songs for a living. That's
Right. And you've written a lot of songs, and you've had various levels of success with those songs. And it's one thing to have a number one hit record. It's another thing to have
various levels of success.
All high, just various levels of high.
Various levels
that
of success.
That sounded worse than he meant.
Okay, just say some were good.
Some weren't.
Just say it.
What I'm saying is, it goes to another level
we
when it's a song like
we
that.
Didn't like
all, right. All right.
We like some, we didn't like some.
I can see where this is headed. We have many questions about the album that's coming out on November the 8th. And by the way, when we return, and by the way, can I put in a vote to play the song again? Does anyone mind if we hear it one more time? It's brand new to everybody. Noel, do we have your permission to spin it one more time?
Absolutely.
Okay. When we come back, we'll talk more about what to expect from the record. And also, we are going to world premiere, if we can call it that, tour dates for the American tour to see Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. And Noel personally is going to give you a pair of tickets when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. A very special day today. Our friend Noel Gallagher in studio with us. That, again, is his brand new song, If I Had a Gun, that we world premiered a few minutes ago. And by the way, Noel Gallagher is one of those guests that I wish you could hear what's going on during the songs in commercials.
Sure.
Because it's perhaps even more entertaining than what we're able to bring you on the radio. But Noel, why didn't you become one of those guys with so much money he doesn't know what to do with, who went out and bought himself a soccer team? It seems like that would be a passion of yours that you could indulge at this point.
Why didn't I become, what, like the Sheik?
Yeah, the Bob Manchester City, your
well,
team.
Well, why didn't I?
That's what we're asking.
Because
that's what
I asked. Because your countrymen never bought enough records.
Oh, so you don't have enough money to go out and buy a soccer team. You can buy a bad soccer team.
We sold a lot of records in Europe.
A lot.
Sadly, the American people were lacking.
Is that right? Wow. Yeah.
I feel bad now.
You should feel bad, but you don't feel as bad as I do. Because I feel worse.
Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, we found out, is not a band. It is the name of the project. The name of the album
is Noel.
Yes.
It's Noel, right.
That's what you should do. You should just go with Noel, like Madonna.
Or it's Noel.
Yeah.
Just Noel.
Or just like some kind of symbol, a little.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Exactly. Well, the album will be out on November 8th. Yes, there is a tour. Here's Kevin with more.
On November 7th and 8th, this is the first time we've given out the U.S. tour dates. November 7th and 8th, you're going to play Massey Hall in Toronto, Canada. November 11th, the Academy of Music in Philadelphia. November 12th, the Wang Theater in Boston, Massachusetts. Wang.
Yeah, what is that? What does that mean?
Well, penis.
All right. Yeah.
I assume in that case it was named after some benefactor with the last name of Wang, is my guess, but that's not what we think of.
No, November 14th.
Wang, was he a character in Kung Fu?
Kung Fu? I don't remember.
You know, the David Carradine.
Sure.
I don't think there was I don't recall a Wang, no.
Okay. November 14th, the Beacon Theater in New York City. November 17th, Royce Hall at UCLA in Los Angeles.
All right. Ooh.
And November 19th, the Orpheum Theater in San Francisco.
Awesome.
So
nice dates.
Mid-November is when you can look for Noel Gallagher, and he puts on a great show.
We're going to give away a pair of tickets right now to the UCLA Royce Hall date, by the way. They go on sale next Friday, September the 9th. So that's a week from this coming Friday at 10 a.m. If you want to go see the show, call now 1-800-520-1067. First person through. Noel, you're going to do a mix of songs from your whole career, I guess, at that show, right? Not just the new album?
Yeah, I'm going to play some Oasis songs.
You wrote them all. You might as well.
Well, I don't see them now as Oasis songs. They're my songs. I don't recall anybody being around when I was writing Don't Look Back in Anger. apart from the little people that came to visit in the night. But,
sure.
You know, the less
sure.
said about that.
Now,
the
you
better.
Said that next year, I forget where I read this, but next year you're going to put out another album that's much more experimental or out there. I forget what the word was. But.
Yeah, there's these... this pair of producers in England called the Amorphous Androgynous. You try saying that when you've had a drink.
No thanks.
And
I can't say it sober.
I've done an album with them with like 10 original new tracks on it, but it's kind of it's way more psychedelic and trippy. It's a bit like Dark Side of the Moon. It's kind of like a.
So it's as good as Dark Side of the Moon? Is that what you're saying?
Now that was a nice try.
Thank you.
And that would have been a great headline on the website in England. You know, but,
well, you did say that you often read interviews with yourself or quotes that you have given that don't translate in print the way you maybe meant them when they came out of your mouth.
Oh,
right?
they look bad. They look very, very, very matter of fact.
Yeah.
You know, if I say like if I'm saying to somebody, of course I'm going to obviously be up there with Elvis soon.
Right.
And when you see that in print,
there's no laughing.
When we read that in print in about 4 hours on some website in England, it'll sound like this. Well, of course, I'll be up there with Elvis.
It does sound not quite as funny. You have a great sense of humor, and you throw stuff out a lot. And it seems like now it's easier than ever for
that take it out of context.
To take out of context and just go around the world.
I've got to say, I walk a fine line between irreverence and pure insult to other people.
Sure.
I really can't help it. I do interviews. I constantly am thinking coming out of interviews, yeah, maybe I should just go back and just explain that I was joking there.
Because they may not know it?
Yeah. Well, no, it's just... It looks bad, but it looks bad.
I told you the first time I met you, I told you this off the air. I was doing an interview by myself, and it didn't record, and I had to go back in, and you were calling me names and stuff, and I thought you were serious. And then you started laughing, and I realized, oh, no, he's got a great sense of humor. This
Great. Can I just let you in on a little secret that I've kept for the last 15 years?
You were serious?
I was being serious.
I don't doubt it.
Noel Gallagher is our guest here on the Kevin DeBean Show, who is obviously great on the radio, and I know you've done a lot of radio with your friend Russell Brand. You guys have been on the air together a lot. He has a very popular radio show.
Yes.
And I wondered, Noel, and forgive me if this is out of left field, but I was thinking, having just seen him on that tribute to Amy Winehouse the other night on MTV, I wondered if you ever had the chance to meet Amy.
I met her at award ceremonies. I didn't know her well.
Like Russell did, yeah.
Yeah, I've met her, maybe half a dozen times, only in passing. She's a really nice girl. She was one of the lads, if that makes any sense. But yes, yeah, it's a great shame.
Okay.
It's a great waste.
It certainly is. Let me ask you a couple of Twitter questions in our final moments here with Noel Gallagher here on the Kevin DeBean Show. If you don't mind, I'll just throw them out there. And I have no idea what the context is for some of these questions. Maybe these people are high. But Robert wants to know, ask him about the song he wrote with Madonna. Is that a thing? Oh, did that happen?
No, I wrote this song that's on the new album that's a little bit disco.
Okay.
And when I took it home and I played it to my wife, and she went, "Really?" and I went, "Yeah, I'm a bit unsure." And I said, "But maybe someone else could sing it like Madonna." And she went, "Madonna's not going to sing that. When are you ever going to see Madonna?" I was like, "I could see Madonna." She's like, "When are you ever going to see Madonna?" I was like, "If I wanted to see Madonna,
right.
I could see Madonna.
You can make it happen."
Yeah.
Right. Was she challenging you?
Well, you know, in the end, I done the next best thing. I sang it myself.
Sing it yourself.
Okay.
All right. Disco. Okay. Yeah.
All right, this could be a controversial question, but Rolo wants to know, could you please ask Noel his honest opinion of Liam's Beady Eye album?
Well, I haven't actually sat down and listened to it as an album, but I've seen it on various TV shows. They have live TV shows in England with bands in the studio. It's all right, you know. They've got their rock and roll band thing. It's seriously, good luck to them. I've still got friends in the band, and you know, it's very... The British press have always wanted me to say...
Of course.
Whatever. But I genuinely like four letter, I can list the songs. I like Four Letter Word and The Roller and, you know.
You don't have any ill will.
No, not at all. No. I hope they go on to, you know, I hope they go on to fulfill the potential that they think they have, you know what I mean?
Because then Liam will never come back.
No, but
they're my
friends, and I wish that, I hope it goes really, really well for them, you know. And I hope they feel the same about, you know, what I'm about to...
Well, they won't, you know that, well, but it's no, still very that. Nice of you to
well,
say.
Well, no, I know they won't. But no, I'm trying to be the bigger person there.
It was working.
It's difficult.
It was working. We actually bought it, actually. Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. By the way, we are streaming the song If I Had a Gun that you just heard at kevinandbean.com, and that is up. If you can listen to it as many times as you want, as a matter of fact, that's up for good now.
Please do. Listen to it.
Please do.
Don't be shy.
And then buy it when the album comes out on November 8th, and we'll get that tour information up on the website as well. Noel, it's such a treat every time we get the opportunity to sit down with you for a little while. Thanks for getting up in the middle of the goddamn night and coming in and spending some time with us.
If you could move the show back to midday, that
I'm
would
with
be
you.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm with you. That would be good
now
for
listen,
us, too.
If I can change the keypad on a computer in one morning, I can shift this back to midday.
He's probably right.
I would like for you to make
it
that happen.
Back to midday. That's going to be my goal in life.
Well, thank you for
from
getting up
on
today.
Thank you very much.
Kevin DeBean listener John wants to congratulate you, Ralph, on the outstanding Noel Gallagher impression. He enjoyed it very much.
What?
So just,
come on.
That was actually Noel.
He was funny and entertaining. Oh, I
don't
get
know
that.
Why.
Hold on.
I don't know why that
hello?
Phone just fired.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
No, I have to show this, you know. No. Okay. All right. Organic milk? Why can't we just get the regular? It's more expensive. All right. Okay, I'll see you when I get home.
Get Love right you there. Too. Tell Bye-bye. Her it's not there. You're not supposed to talk to the Armenian comedian. Oh, I'm sorry. Got it. All right. Time for the showbiz beat now. And next hour, we're going to talk to people who have escaped from cults, which is a topic I don't think we've ever had on the show. So I'm looking forward to that on the way here on the Kevin DeBeat Show.
I was at a Blue Oyster Cult show once that I ducked out the back door. Does that count?
No. It's a whole different
Not
thing.
The same.
It's not a cult.
No, never mind. How about the cult? If I went to a The Cult show.
Don't make me add a brand new Would You Like to Take That Back to today's edition of Would You Like to Take That Back.
Does it surprise you that Bean has several people he knew that were in cults? Does that surprise you?
Does that surprise me? No.
If you had to pick anyone on the show who was associated with people who belonged to cults, what's the first name that would pop into your mind?
The person who's associated with the fewest number of people and yet the highest percentage of cult members.
Isn't it strange how it works out percentage-wise? Yeah. It's Tuesday. That means there's new CDs, DVDs, and TV on DVDs available for your purchase. If you're so inclined, you can pick up the new Red Hot Chili Peppers CD. I'm with you. We should have a breakfast or something with those guys.
They won't do it. They're dicks.
Really? They won't do it?
That's what I heard. Yeah. Nothing to do with it.
Ridiculous. We play them a lot. You think the least they could do is
we
do a
live...
We did
it yesterday!
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't here yesterday.
Yes, you were.
Oh, that's right. I was. Funny, I don't remember the Red Hot Chili Peppers being here then. The Carter.
Huh?
Four. The Carter.
Would you like to reread that?
No, that's exactly what the name of the CD is.
Know.
Why should I reread it?
I'm just saying it wasn't a good
The
delivery.
Carter 4.
All right.
The Carter 4.
Got it.
The Carter 4. I feel like I'm playing Password. That is the new album by Lil Wayne. And then Copies, Clones, and Replicants by Power Man 5000, also available today on CD. You can check that out. New DVDs hitting the market today. Madea's Big Happy Family. Oh, Tyler Perry.
It's about time.
You never start to make me laugh. I'm telling you, you are one of those guys. Prom with Amy Teagarden.
I don't know what that is.
That's a movie about a prom.
Well, I could have guessed that.
About kids going to prom and asking other kids to go to prom.
Okay. So you know as much as
prom.
I do.
Prom. I know it stars my buddy Nick Braun. Nicholas Braun's in it. He's my buddy.
Okay.
One of the stars of Red State.
All right.
He's in it. Speaking of Red State, what's today? What's today?
Today is the...
30th?
29th?
Oh.
It's the 30th.
September 1st is the day that Red State's available on video on demand.
Thursday, yeah. I want to say.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you can check it out on video on demand if you want. And then it goes into...
an update for when it comes out on DVD.
It won't be coming out on DVD for a while. But then it's in theaters everywhere September 23rd, I think. So you can either see it on your TV or go into a movie theater and see it. We're very excited. Sons of Anarchy, Season 3 on DVD, available today. The Vampire Diaries, the second season, as is the seventh season of Desperate Housewives. Cougar Town, complete second season, is available today. Third season of 90210, complete first season of Nikita. Parenthood Season 2 is available. And Detroit 187, complete first season available today.
So I love that Nikita, by the way.
I know you do.
Watched every episode.
I know you do. Dancing with the Stars. We found out last night who the new cast is going to be. Ricky Lake, former talk show host and soon to be talk show host again. She's going to be in the cast. She's going to be dancing her little ass off.
Or big ass off.
She was in Hairspray. The movie Hairspray.
She sure was.
Yes, she was. She danced in Hairspray.
Yes, she did.
That seems to give her an unfair advantage, wouldn't you think?
I think that's true of all musicians. Like, they've had the boy bands and stuff, you know, people, and it seems like they have worked with choreographers.
Yeah. And yet, the athletes seem to win a lot.
Yeah, well.
Oddly enough. While we're talking about athletes, Ron Artest of the Los Angeles Lakers.
He's crazy.
He's crazy.
He really
he's
gonna is.
Be, that's going to be gold.
They announced
him, on that.
Him last night. He came running out, whipped his T-shirt off, and started making muscular poses in front of the audience.
That's our man.
He's crazy.
He is.
He's Kristen crazy. Cavallari of the Hills. She's going to be dancing.
All right.
China Phillips of Wilson Phillips.
Still hot?
Still hot.
Okay.
Looks so much like her mom now. You don't have no idea who her mom is, do you?
No. Mrs. Phillips?
Her mom was
Mama Phillips.
Mama Phillips. Yes, exactly.
You don't remember, do you?
I have no idea.
Michelle
Phillips.
Phillips.
That's the
actress,
name
singer.
For.
Yeah, she's
Michelle Phillips.
She was in
the Mamas and the Papas.
Ton of
John
television.
Phillips. So she was Mama Phillips in essence. Kevin, you were right.
I was correct.
You were correct.
All right.
Nancy Grace.
Oh man.
Apparently, she's going to dance while talking about Tot Mom. They can't shut her up. She's going to go Tot Mom, Tot Mom. The whole time she's dancing, she'll be talking about Tot Mom.
By the way, this this hot sauce mom. Have you been following that
story? Hot sauce mom's a bad deal.
I don't know. Hot sauce mom. I want to hit her with a bike chain over and over and over again.
That doesn't sound good.
Well, it's better than she deserves.
What'd she do?
Tortured her adopted child, basically. It was the disciplining of pouring hot sauce in his mouth.
Oh, no.
Making him stand in ice cold showers. Mm. I mean, just some brutal treatment of this kid.
Is he an Al Qaeda?
No, he's just a kid.
Taking a Guantanamo?
Man. Hope Solo of the U.S. women's soccer team.
Hot.
She also was able to blow up the Death Star, I think, with her pal Luke Skywalker and the Chewbacca.
That was Han Solo.
Oh. George Clooney's ex-girlfriend, Elizabeth Canales.
Yes.
Oh, man. Elizabeth Canales. David Arquette, king of the big screen, David Arquette.
They didn't really say that about
him. That's what they said
last night. They said king.
See if I can pull the audio for you for later, but that's what...
So it's James Cameron is who they meant to introduce,
actor,
right?
Writer, director, producer, king of the big screen. I looked at my wife, like, who could this possibly be? It's the king of the big screen. I had no idea that George Clooney was going to be dancing on this show this season. David Arquette.
That's bullshit.
He is not the king of the big
screen. Style guru Carson Kressley, formerly of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. J.R. Martinez, soap star and Iraq War veteran. Chaz Bono, formerly Chastity Bono, son of Sonny and Cher.
Formerly daughter of Sonny and Cher.
He's going to be on the show. And Rob Kardashian of the Dancing Kardashian family will also be dancing with the stars. He's just a dick.
Yeah, I hope
you can just see he comes out. He's just, he's had like a smug look in his face. I just want to just slap him.
Yeah.
I hope they do the slap dance this season. Someone slaps him. Do they have a slap dance?
I don't know.
They should add a slap dance. If Noel Gallagher can invent a brand new keyboard, I can get the slap dance added to the Dancing with the Stars lineup.
Good luck with that.
Today's celebrity birthday is Lewis Black. How funny is Lewis Black? How funny?
The best.
Give me a number.
Paul
How funny.
Funny?
A number? Yes.
Out of 10?
Just any number.
Okay.
Any numbers
He's
you want to
be. He's a 17 out of 17.
All right. He is 63 years old today. Michael Chiklis. Star of The Shield for many seasons, 48 years old. Cameron Diaz is 39. Lisa Ling celebrates her 38th birthday. And tennis player Andy Roddick, he celebrates his 29th today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This weekend is Labor Day weekend, the unofficial end of summer. We are kicking off the weekend with a big party. The band Bush is going to be playing. We'll tell you some more details and give you some tickets. How about later this hour? We'll try to squeeze those in. We have a very busy hour just ahead, but we'll try to do it for you in the next 45 minutes or so. Give you those tickets to join us on Friday from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Bean, you saw the MTV Video Music Awards.
The highest rated single telecast in MTV history on Sunday night? Yes, I did, unfortunately.
Justin Bieber. Had the fake glasses and the tiny, tiny, tiny little, I guess it was a snake. He said it was a snake. Hmm. It's pretty small.
Yeah.
It's not like...
I don't know. Why do you bring a snake to an event like that?
Because you want it to stand out and you want people to go, wow, how about that? He brought
a snake. Aren't you already Justin Bieber, though? Don't you already get plenty of attention? Seriously, why do you need to dress like a clown and bring a snake to a show? He's 17. He shouldn't be going off the cocaine rails already.
Listen, if he would go off the cocaine rails, I'd be very happy. And I saw going off the cocaine rails last night at the Troub. They were very good. All right, so Justin Bieber with a snake, and then you heard the story about all of his videos being removed from YouTube. So we thought perhaps it was time to catch up with the Biebs.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah.
Pretty good relationship with him, so let's get him on the phone. Justin?
Hey, what's going on, eh?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing? Hold on. Oh, hold on a second. I can't see you. Let me put on my glasses that I really need.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
There you are. There, yeah. I can see you now.
I know a lot of people wear crazy stuff just for fashion, but you're 17. Your eyes are fine. Certainly don't need to be wearing glasses.
No, I'm clear-sighted.
What?
Clear-sighted.
Clear-sighted?
Yes.
So you don't need glasses. You're just wearing them to look cool.
I have to put on clear lenses in order to be able to see things.
I see.
I just put on glasses, and then I can see, like, oh, there you are.
Right, but you could see the same without them.
No.
Hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And then you were wearing some sort of weird combination of doofus gold chains around your neck, and then
that's my bling, okay? So I appreciate if you don't, like, make fun of it and stuff,
but
eh?
It's sort of like, it's weak bling. I mean, if you're going to put some bling around your neck, you know,
My neck can't support a lot of weight, okay? So I do the best I can. It's, like, not right for you to pick on the thin neck, okay?
It's like
I am the neck disadvantage, and so that's like a condition, eh? So you shouldn't be mocking it, because then I'll get the support groups after you, and then they'll be saying, what's that all about?
The little pendant thing that's on the end of it's about the size of an M&M, though. I mean, it really is not.
You should see the scar left in the back of my neck with those pulling down on me all night.
And then you got the red, I guess there's some sort of like leggings or pantyhose or something. I didn't even know what the hell that was all about.
Skinny jeans, okay? That's like what guys are wearing.
If you'd like to see what we're talking about, you can go to kevinandbean.com. There's a post up, and it's got him and his snake. Now let's
makes me look all rock and roll, don't it?
Now let's talk about your snake. This is the tiniest snake I've ever seen.
It's a baby. That's why. It's gonna grow up and be a major player in the music industry.
Is that right?
That's right.
Do you still have it?
Of course I have it. It's my pet.
No, my theory is that you discarded it on your way out. You just put it in the trash.
I would never do that to a baby boa constrictor. It's not the right thing to do. First of all, they're majestic and graceful animals.
Right.
And I love to watch them soar through the air.
What?
And so I would never treat them that way. And so he's my pet, eh? And
do they
so
soar
that's
through
why I brought
air?
Him. Because people bring pets to things, don't they?
Right. Well, they don't.
Paris Hilton will occasionally, but it's dumb.
It's not dumb. I'm going to start bringing all my pets to all my events from now on because I think people get a kick out of seeing them, and I enjoy having the company because otherwise I got to talk to that dumb girl, Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez, your girlfriend who you love, right?
Yeah, love her.
But
so
Justin,
much, eh?
here's my theory. The only reason you brought that snake is so you could walk around and go, hey, do you want to meet my flesh-colored snake? And then you'd pull the little snake out, and then the girls would giggle, and you'd go, yeah, his name is Johnson. And then you'd be, like, all funny. That's what it seemed like you were trying to do in the interviews I saw on MTV.
If I wanted to be funny, I wouldn't say that, eh? Because that's funny.
That's what you said, though.
What other pets might you be bringing to...
All my pets. I got Johnson, my snake. I'm going to bring him. Then I got this one. That's Johnson right there. Oh, listen, he doesn't like you. He's hissing mad, eh?
Wow, sounds like it.
Yeah, he's got a big tongue for a little snake.
Yeah.
So does Selena Gomez, by the way. And I got my other pet.
Oh, a pig? You got a pig?
Yeah. His name's Porky, eh? Isn't that funny? Because that was like a famous pig.
Yeah, Porky Pig.
Yeah!
Yeah, we get it.
Wait till I tell people that one at the next VMA.
They're going to die.
Hey, no. This is Porky. Yeah, mm-hmm. I get
Oh, no. What's that?
That's a condor.
Okay. Why do you have a condor, Justin?
It's easier for me to get around if he just picks me up and flies me from place to place.
I see.
They have an enormous wingspan, you know.
Sure.
They're endangered in some areas.
Well, then you shouldn't own one, but be careful when he picks you up with that weak neck.
I call him, that's Mr. Rice.
Mr. Rice.
Condoleezza Rice, I call him.
Oh, wow.
Ah,
man.
Ah, that's going to be a good one on the red carpet, isn't it?
In 2 years. What? What is that?
That's my burrow.
Okay, what's his story?
He's a burrow.
Right.
I ride him into the silver mines of La Paz.
No, you don't do that. What are you talking about? You don't do that.
Anyway, every time I'm checking out my silver mine in La Paz,
you don't own
I take
silver
Pepe
mine.
There down into the mine.
What now?
That's a sheep.
Sheep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what's the story there?
I make sweaters from his wool.
Okay.
Right. I don't think any of this is true,
no,
Justin.
No, it's true. I asked him if he had any wool. He said, yes, sir, 3 bags full. And so I made sweaters.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Cow?
Nope.
What's that?
Kitten, obviously enough.
A kitten? That's a big kitten.
I got to get him to the doctor. You got to get looked at.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Last week, we did a story about Rose McGowan, the beautiful actress. Who, by the way, why didn't we have her on to talk about the Conan movie? I love her so much. But she was doing some press talking about the Conan the Barbarian movie, and she's in it. And she was talking about her early childhood. And I think we've discussed this with her briefly on our show in the past, too, that she grew up for a while in a cult in Italy. The Children of God sect, a group that extols the virtue of free love and prepares for the second coming of Jesus.
Free love for the elder men.
Well, that's what – doesn't it seem like most of these cult stories, yes. And of course Warren Jeffries or Jeffs, whatever the dude's name is, got convicted for the bigamy and everything. He was running a cult essentially, and it seemed like the whole reason was so he could have sex with all the girls once they get to be like 14, 15, 16 years old.
Yeah, it's sick and it's terrible for the kids, but Rose McGowan got out, which is good.
She got out and she said that she
had a gun put on her leg too. I've seen her. Not want to mess with her.
That was just in Death Proof, but she's fine. Now, but we thought, I don't believe we've ever had Kevin and Bean listeners on who have escaped from cults. They were in cults for a while and they got out. And what must that experience be like? And do you see it more clearly in the rearview mirror than at the time you were in? Maybe you're the type of person who was even brainwashed into believing what the cult was all about. And then at some point you changed your mind. So it didn't surprise you, Kevin, when I told you that I knew a few people who have been in cults.
No. If anyone would, you would.
And one of them is my good friend Gina, who joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Gina. What's going on, girlfriend?
I've been nothing much, just enjoying your show this morning.
Thank you very much.
To this. I think you're right about the thing about it looking clearer in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Because when you're,
what cult were you in?
It was a real small one, and the guy called it Ascension.
Ascension.
He was the next transcendental meditation guy, and he stole a bunch of techniques. I think he stole the techniques from Christmas songs.
Really?
And he called it a meditation technique. And every week he'd give you a new meditation technique, and it was like, seven swans of swimming, and the next it would be six geese of laying. And
what?
I swear he was like stealing them from a Christmas song, which you would like.
What was his point of the cult, though? I mean, why was he doing it? Was he making money off of it, or was he having lots of sex, or what was the goal?
Well, both. I think he was trying to recruit young, hot people or people with a lot of money. And my young, hot boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, was a good candidate. So he tried not to get me to come, but he had this teacher training course in Fiji, and he suckered 30 people into coming, and when they all got there, he was changing their names, making them wear white. He had two wives.
Wow.
Everybody gave them,
Now, to me, it makes it a cult. One of the big signs is you have to cut off contact with all other people that aren't in the cult. Did that happen with you?
Absolutely. Yes, it did. We were on a little island way out in the middle of nowhere, Fiji.
Oh, my God. And what's your day like when you wake up in a cult in Fiji? Do you have chores?
Well, what you do is you wake up at 6 in the morning and what we did was either run 6 miles or the next day we went snorkeling. And then he gave us watered down canned juice and water. And so then nothing else for the rest of the day. You were supposed to study in silence. You'd see him eating in the restaurant with his two wives, but you weren't allowed to.
Wow. Oh, interesting.
And then at night he'd have, about midnight, he'd have a meeting for everyone. So you'd have to sit there and listen to his meeting until 2 in the morning. So typical cult stuff, brainwashing.
Exhaust you,
exhaust you, starve you, exactly. And then all of a sudden you look to him as the leader and he starts to make sense. So when you've seen these stories, Gina, and by the way, we're going to take your telephone calls if you have a cult experience to share, 1-800-520-1067. When you've seen stories that have come out in the news over the years, and of course the Jonestown cult in Africa is probably the most famous of all of them, do you get how people can be sucked in and believe and really make that their lifestyle and not see how crazy it is once they're inside of it a little bit?
Absolutely. Because, they trick you. Most of the time they trick you into going, and there's thousands of these little cults going on in the world at any given time, and most of them fizzle out. I would actually love to start my own cult because I would love to have sex with younger hot people, get a lot of money, and travel.
That's the best, right?
It does seem all good.
If you're going to be the cult leader, if you're going to be in a cult, right?
It's all good if you're the leader.
I'm trying to come up with some good names, and really, it's a great idea.
Sure.
Now, how old were you? We have so many more questions for her, but we're out of time. Is there any way you can hold on, Gina?
Sure.
Okay, because I have many questions for you. I want to know how old you were. I want to know if the sex thing had started with you and how you got out. Was it difficult?
I think Gina has a good story about the day they made a break for it, too. So we'll continue talking to Gina, and we want your calls, too. 1-800-520-1067. You were in a cult. Tell us about it. Coming up next on the Kevin and Bean. Talking about people who were in cults, here's a Kevin and Bean listener named Boyd. In the turmoil of the late 1960s, I was swept into a cult where we were all forced to live communally apart from society, to dress alike, and to adopt mindless obedience to the higher-ups, even if ordered to kill.
Wow.
Fortunately, 3 years later, I got out of the Army. So that's I don't think, that's not really what we're talking about here. But crazy cults are the topic. 1-800-520-1067. My friend Gina is on the line, and you guys always make fun of me for living on the island and having no friends. But Gina is actually somebody who's been to my house, Kevin, and I've actually been to her house.
Are you in the cult, Bean?
No, I'm not in the cult.
All right, Gina.
Not yet.
when we last left off with you a few minutes ago, you were telling us some of the details of what you guys did day to day in the cult. And Kevin, you had some follow up questions about how the thing got going.
How young were you?
Well, I was 37, but my hot young boyfriend was 25.
Oh, okay. So did you have to partake in the sex thing with the founder?
No, I was too chubby and they didn't let me do that, unfortunately. And most of the sex was happening with the leader. He was the only one that was evolved enough
of
at
course.
That point to be able to have sex. So right. We all had to dress white, and he gave us these ridiculous names. Like, he called me Mahi Mahi. I got named
Mahi Mahi.
That's creative. Yeah. You're a
Fiji. All right. Yeah. Were you guys allowed to have sex with each other, though?
No. They split
only
Eric
him.
And I up because we weren't married, and even the married people were. The men dorm and the women's dorm. And the other thing is, we were fasting, but we were also supposed to be in silence. So they didn't even want us talking to each other outside of the meetings.
It's a perfect world for the leader.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no kidding. All right, tell us how you got away.
Well, Eric and I were really, you know, seeing that things were changing pretty quickly over there. But his little cousin had also gone with us, and he looked really happy.
Right.
Well, one night, we were just, you know, I said, we got one more week and then we're going to have to split out of here. And he's like, oh, I'm not leaving my cousin. But his cousin walked up to us and smiling, wrote a note. He's like, I want to get out of here. I'm tweaking. I'm freaking. I'm ready
to step.
So we stayed up and I hatched this plan that in the morning we would go down, look like we're snorkeling, and then just keep walking out of the little village. And right next to us was the only gay resort in Fiji at the time.
Right.
So we asked the people that were running the place we were at if they would get our luggage and help us get our stuff down to the street.
Mm-hmm.
Because a couple weeks ago, someone else had left in the middle of the night, and the cult leader wanted everyone to start screaming if they saw anybody leaving. So they, you know, 30 people, they could go stop them.
Yeah.
So we got up early in the morning and acted like we were just going to go down to snorkel and walked over to the little village next door and got a ride down to the road, took a bus into the major town, and then
sweet.
Enjoyed Fiji for a couple weeks.
and never looked back.
Well, I'm How glad you got that? Out. That's great.
Never looked back. Helped a few people get out of there because some other people we knew had a relative that was interested in it, and we kind of helped her, and then a couple people that were there.
I got to tell you, Gina, and thank you very much for coming on. I know it's early and whatnot, but I was surprised to hear that you were 37 at the time because, I don't know, I always think about people being young and impressionable and like, you know, 20 or something like that when they get talked to in a cult. Usually by the time you're 37, it seems like you'd be too smart for this BS.
Well, you're right, and I was, but I wasn't going to let them get my sweet young boyfriend, and that's who they were really praying on.
They
did not want me to go, but there's no way I was going to let.
She's a cougar. She's not just going to let him go.
I'm the original cougar.
That's right.
Hey, thank God you were too fat for them to make you have sex with him, right?
I'm so happy. You know, but actually, I was so, it's the thinnest I've ever been because from all the little liquid and being sick, and then people were drinking their urine, you know. It just gets weirder.
How were you fat then? All right, Gina.
I was fat when I started, but then I got skinny from only drinking watered down juice.
I see.
But, you know.
It's the cult diet. I think it's going to be the hot new thing
it's
in 2011. All right, Gina,
and
we got to go. But yes.
Okay, but Bean, I'm going to offer you a co position with me as a cult leader.
Co position.
I think we could.
All right.
You could have a lot of nice young girls, and
it does.
It
does sound pretty hot. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. I'll take you up on that.
Imagine
see you later.
Means cold. How boring would that be?
We'd watch a lot of TV.
Seriously boring, but no sex, so that's good.
All right,
let's talk to John real quick. We have some time. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Talking about cults. What do you got for us?
I was born in Scientology, and I got out when I was 20 years old, and my father was actually kicked out when I was 12, and I was unable to talk to him for about 8 years until I got out.
That, to me, is a sign of a cult, is if you're cut off from everybody that's not in the cult, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Well, Well, that's the thing, is that you see, you know, on television when members of Scientology interview, they said there's no policy of disconnection or whatnot. But the people that have gotten out, you know, that were disconnected from their families that got out before us, you know, we know that's just simply not true.
Why did you stay in for 8 more years after your dad was kicked out?
Well, because I was 12 years old. I had no idea. I mean, I went to Scientology private school till about the fifth grade. I went to Delphi and all the schools in L.A. And it was all I knew. It was my life, you know, for a very long time. And then when I was 20, I just started seeing, you know, the ridiculousness of it. And my parents that were still in it, my mother and stepfather, they gave away all their money to Scientology, about over $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude. Did you have to go to every single Tom Cruise movie and applaud wildly?
No, but what's funny is that I was actually at the event when, you know, the funny thing of him on YouTube where he's just spouting all the Scientology stuff and he's at some weird event.
Right.
I was actually at that event, and that was one of the turning points for me, because me and my girlfriend at the time were just hysterically laughing the entire time. And we were actually kicked out of the event because we were laughing so hard.
That's awesome.
Sweet.
Well, it was hilarious. It did seem like he was playing that character in Tropic Thunder. It was so over-the-top
crazy.
It was a parody.
Well,
no, but what's funny is that his attitude and the way he is and how, you know, supposedly enthusiastic he is about everything is kind of that craziness is kind of how everybody in Scientology is. And they really full-heartedly believe that this is the only method to, you know, achieving eternal freedom. That's really what they believe.
Yeah.
And they give up gobs of money for it.
We're out of time, John. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. I will say that, and we've mentioned this on the air before, the people that we have known, and I'm going to even say for Tom Cruise, too, they really do seem like awesome, nice people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, really friendly and really generous and really hardworking and really committed and devoted. There's an awful lot of positive that comes out of some of those teachings. But then it gets into the crazy part where you get cut off from people who aren't in the cult and whatnot, and you got to give away all your money. And then I think that's where they lose a lot of people. But great call. Thank you very much, John. We'll return with Ralph and the Showbiz Beat right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
It's like an employee review. It's something that nobody looks forward to. But would you like to take that back? Coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show right after the top of the hour. I know, it's
Mug,
no fun
Mug
for anybody.
Mug looks forward to it, because it's one of the few times we're not mocking him.
Exactly.
We're mocking each other.
We turn the mirror on ourselves.
It's mostly Bean, but let's be honest.
Yeah, let's
how dare you.
Those are bad, too.
How dare you. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph Garman.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Creature. Yay!
We're the little kids.
I don't know.
How come they're not happy?
I didn't know you wanted the little kids every time, but try it again.
Usually they just show up without even me asking. They're just there all the time.
Try it again.
A little movie we like to call Creature.
That's a toss-up.
Happens Thursday, September the 8th. The movie's in theaters everywhere on the 9th, but you'll get to see it before anybody else if you're one of the lucky people who did it, who call in at 1-800-520-1067. First, three callers. Let's take it right now. This movie has got nudity, girl-on-girl action, gore, terror, horror, a creature with teeth and claws will rip you up in the Louisiana bayou. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah!
Now you're talking.
I love me some Creature. So check it out. 1-800-520-1067. Another movie I love, The Kim Kardashian Sex Tape.
It's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Not much of a plot, but I liked it.
Maybe off the market soon.
What?
Apparently, someone is trying to buy the rights to the tape to remove it from public viewing forever.
Good luck with that.
Hasn't it really been out there for a little too long?
It's been out there. But apparently somebody would like it if it was no longer out there.
And by somebody, you mean Kim Kardashian.
Well, we don't know. There is a lawyer apparently contacted Vivid Entertainment and said they're looking into buying all rights to the sex tape, as well as any unused footage. The lawyer says the party we represent does not intend to distribute or broadcast the tape, but hopes to completely remove it from the market.
Overruled!
Now, I'm thinking, we don't know the identity of the party that this person is representing. However, could this call to action be the fact that during Kim Kardashian's wedding, viewership for that sex tape went from roughly 300,000 views per month to 2 million views that weekend?
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe somebody would like to see that tape go away now.
Yeah. I wonder if that someone is Chris Humphreys.
Perhaps.
Interesting.
Nobody wants their wife out there getting banged by a black dude on the internet, right?
I'd like her out there.
Yeah.
All right.
So don't do it, Vivid. That's what we're saying. Do the right thing here. Keep it out there for everyone to see for years and years and years and years.
You could cut out Ray J. That'd be cool.
No, leave him in there, too.
We don't have much tape, but...
I just don't... I don't want that to go away. I don't want the only visual evidence of Kim Kardashian being... keeping up the Kardashians, where she bursts into tears because she loses a diamond earring in the ocean. I don't want that to be how we see Kim Kardashian. I want to see how she really is.
I do, too.
Just a whore. That's what I want to see.
And by the way, I was reminded of this again when she came out as the presenter on the VMAs Sunday night. She's terrible.
She's horrible at everything she does, except...
At everything she does.
Looking hot.
Right.
And complaining.
Get naked, you strange whore!
She's expert at those two things.
She walked out there. She could barely read. She could barely make it sound like she wasn't reading. And it was a zero.
Yeah, she whines exceptionally well and apparently humps.
She's a whore, okay?
Those are the two things she does. But we get to see her brother, Rob Kardashian, on Dancing with the Stars.
Woo-hoo. Oh, thank God.
So that's the upside.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. They announced last night during Bachelor Pad, which was amazing last night.
No.
Oh, this Casey and Vienna. This power couple must be broken up. I'm telling you, they must.
I can't do Bachelor Pad.
I'm so glad that Melissa went home, though, because she is psycho.
Speaking of psycho.
I felt bad for William, though, because he didn't want to see him go. He didn't do anything to anybody.
Why do you care about these people, Ralph?
Are you unable to judge the room? Or are you reading it correctly?
I don't do the show for the room, man.
All right.
I do the show for me.
I see.
And my people. The Bachelor Pad people.
The Garmy's behind you, right?
The Padders, I like to call them.
The Padders.
Yeah. Yeah, they broke into the show last night to talk about the fact that there's a brand new cast of Dancing with the Stars, and here's what they revealed. Rob Kardashian will be one of the dancers. Chaz Bono, son of Sonny and Cher, will be one of the dancers. All My Children star, J.R. Martinez. He's also an Iraqi war veteran. He's quite the gentleman. I wish him well. He's got my early support.
Okay.
Carson Kressley of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. George Clooney's ex-girlfriend, Elizabeth Canales. She's beyond hot. A lot of hotties this year, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, they might as well.
Hope Solo from the U.S. women's soccer team. China Phillips. Kristen Cavallari.
Wow.
And then you got Ricky Lake for the old dumpy slot. They always have an old dumpy broad in there. Nancy Grace.
Now, what's her slot? Crazy? She's the Tammy Faye Baker
slot? No, Nancy Grace is the old dumpy slot, the one I was talking to.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought that was Ricky Lake. Okay.
She crazy.
And then I was really excited because they were talking about everybody. And then they announced that a major star was going to be on. And I said, well, this could be interesting if they really bring someone out. This is how they teased it.
This person. He's a movie star, producer, director, and writer, the king of the big screen, David Arquette.
Now, I thought they said initially the king of the big screen.
Oh.
What did she say?
Could she have said king of the big scream?
Yeah.
Instead?
I think
is
so.
Is it a pun?
Oh,
I think
really?
You're right.
Well, it makes more sense than King of the Big Screen.
That's what I thought. I thought last night he said King of the Big Screen.
Producer, director, and writer, the King of the Big Screen, David Arquette.
Yeah,
the
Big Scream?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's how they did it.
Yeah. But why say it like that, King of the Big Scream? That doesn't even make any sense.
I think it's a pun.
That's not an expression.
Of Big Screen, and he was in Scream.
Okay.
So, but
overruled!
Putting the two together, look.
Can we get that reporter on for Would You Like to Take That Back next?
That was Brooke Burke Charvet.
Oh.
She's a new hyphen this season.
Oh, that's right, because she got married.
Brooke Chavez.
Okay.
He's the king of the big scream. David Arquette, he's the last one there.
That's not brown rice.
No, it's not.
Are you going to watch, Ralph? Are you?
No. I am never a fan of the Dancing with the Stars.
America disagrees.
They do.
With us.
Look, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying for me personally, it's not an enjoyable experience because I don't know anything about dancing. I don't really appreciate the art form. So to watch people to do it either well or not well, I really can't tell the difference. It's all lost on me, more or less.
Yeah.
And they don't interact with the celebrities enough to make that part of it interesting for me. They don't really interview them very much. They just dance for the most part.
The lovely Brooke Burke will show off her cha-cha next.
Well, if she does that, then I'll tune in. I'd like to see her cha-cha. Today's celebrity birthday is comedian Louis Black of The Daily Show and our show and his own shows. 63 years old today. Michael Chiklis turns 48. Cameron Diaz, 39 years old today. TV personality Lisa Ling, celebrates her 38th birthday. There's been just a lack of high today, by the way, I've noticed. And not much high commitment at
there
all.
There is a lack of high.
And I'm disappointed. Tennis player Andy Roddick celebrates his 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins, did I fall through the tube of history? Or did you guys seriously just play kryptonite in 2011? Would you like to take that back? If it was up to me, yeah, I think I would. But apparently a lot of people like that song. Apparently a lot of people have fallen in love with the memory of where they were when Kryptonite was out on the radio. So that's why we played it for you.
I missed the Tube of History, by the way.
Where's
the
Tube of History? It was awesome.
Where's that piece of tape?
I don't think we need it.
We need to bring that back sometime soon.
Let's play our favorite new game.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
That is, by the way, just as a Kevin Amin postscript, if you're a fan of the show and you keep track of such things, that is the catchiest jingle in the history of the Kevin Amin show. We get more people who say they get that one stuck in their head and they can't do anything about it than anything else. So nice job, Ralph Garman.
Well, it has nothing to do with me. It's that tune that I stole to use under that theme that is just so damn catchy.
All right, the first one is Bean, and I am sorry to tell you, Bean, that a lot of them are Bean.
What a shock!
The first time we were talking to Amy Winehouse in heaven.
And poor Amy.
We were talking about the fact that she's got supposedly some new music that was left around that might be released after her death. And this happened.
There's lots of partially finished music they're talking about.
I see. Okay.
Now, is it true that your music had become too mainstream, so you decided to go underground?
Is that a joke about me being buried?
Yes, it is, actually.
That was awful.
Wow.
not because it's about me dying, just as a joke.
That's okay.
It was awful.
Anyone in general that died, that's a bad joke.
Yeah, it wasn't bad taste. I think she was saying it's just a horrible joke.
Right, that's what she was saying.
Underground.
Right. You can't be happy with that. Like, none of us even got it. I mean, we didn't even understand it.
Don't do it.
Why are you saying that, King?
Because
why
love
are
it.
You saying that?
I love it. Don't do it, dude.
Because Dave think loves you, everything that's bad.
Don't do it.
I think you could hear the regret in my voice even as I said it. So I'm going to take it back. I regret it at the time. I regret it now. I will take that back.
Excellent
as
choice.
I do in 53% of the time.
A rare choice.
53% of the time, Asperger's. Yeah. Okay.
No, he was complaining about that. Somebody went back and figured it out, supposedly. I don't know. This next one is Ralph. He's doing the showbiz, and he's talking about the Black Eyed Peas.
Hmm. More music news. The Black Eyed Peas are going on an indefinite hiatus, they say.
Oh, say that's not so.
Oh, I'm so sad. How are they going to get started if they stop? I'm just saying.
File.
Go ahead and just take it back now and save yourself the embarrassment of waiting for us to do. Would you like to take that back?
File it is.
All right, so he wouldn't take it back
no,
then.
No, you wouldn't let me take it back then.
Oh, I wouldn't?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You kept saying, nope, file, no, file. You were in a rush to put in the file. Okay. Wouldn't even let me take it back when I wanted to take it back at the time, Kevin.
We don't have a take it back at the time policy.
Well, sometimes we do, apparently, because there was the offer made and then rescinded by you. You refused to let me take it back when I wanted to take it back when I said it.
So you're saying you want to take it back?
Yes, of course.
All right,
I wanted
good.
To take it back then, but you wouldn't let me.
Right,
would you like to take not letting me take it back?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think it deserved its own space and time. I think it deserved to breathe a little bit.
In the Tube of History.
Right. the next one might surprise you as Bean. It's during the Ralph Showbiz Beat, and he's talking about new movie.
Martin Scorsese. He's working with Leonardo DiCaprio again. These guys, what a pair. They've collaborated on Gangs of New York already, The Aviator, The Departed, Shutter Island. Now they're getting together to do a remake of a 1974 film called The Gambler, which I loved, with James Caan, about a professional gambler. And looks like it's going to be pretty good. So that's something to be excited about. Those two do
does
pretty
he,
good
work. Yeah. No one to hold him and no one to fold him? Is that part of the story? Or?
Come on.
Listen to me laugh. Oh, now! Bean's laughing
I hated
now.
It so much then. I hated it. I matched my sigh. My deep sigh was matched on the tape as I was doing it live. That's how much I hate it.
That was a 1972
No, it wasn't that late.
Hit
late
with 70s. By Kenny Rogers, yeah, a
hideous.
Country song.
But they made like 5 gambler movies, though, so it did have some context for a movie called The Gambler.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say I personally enjoyed it very much, but I think that it may have been ill-advised for this crowd. I think I will also take that one back, but with a great deal of sadness. With sadness,
well,
I take it back.
Sadness. All right.
All right, the next one is the King of Mexico. He doesn't get many.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't get many, but he called the Afro line, and he said this.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, it's Dave, the King of Mexico. Did you hear about the East Coast earthquake? All I got to say was, it's not my fault. Get it? Because faults cause earthquakes.
Well, it was Come Dave's on. Attempt to tie in his catchphrase, his it's not my fault catchphrase, because I think, I suspect he's got 10,000 t-shirts made up with that expression on. He's trying to keep it going.
Would you like to take that back? Listen, all I got to say is, I'm rad. And
would you like to take that back?
And
would you like to take that back?
It was timely.
Would you like to take that back?
So, no, I will not take that back.
Surprise.
Wow.
What a surprise. What a surprise.
Dave has just been dragged into the Hague for a war criminal trial, and he committed all those war crimes, but is still proud of him. He's even with the glare of the world on him, he will not take it back.
All
it was
right.
Awesome.
The next one, Alex is doing showbiz last week while you were out there, and she's doing showbiz, and the next one is surprise, surprise, Bean, who forces this one in. You can hear us fighting to get to not... To try and get him to not do it, he forces it in.
Happy birthday to my hero, Tim Burton, who has an awesome exhibit at the LACMA right now. Everybody should go. They're showing all his...
I can't go.
Oh, no.
Well, don't do it.
Oh, no.
Don't
oh,
ask
no.
him.
Okay,
don't
I'm going to move on.
I'm LACMA intolerant.
No.
Come on.
F you
come
in the
on
baby
with the come
maker.
On.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Put it in the file.
Damn it.
Now, this is the first time that we've had a...
Would you like to take that back?
Again.
Because this was it. Would you like to take that back the first time?
Yeah, this is a daily double.
And then it happened again.
Right.
Would you like to take that back
again?
He was roundly.
We didn't want it.
No.
Roundly criticized for the first time.
We could see it coming a mile away.
None of us
and
wanted
we waved it off.
Alex was moving on. We were the third base coach. We were like, no, 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 yep. Don't round second. Stay there. And Bean would not have it.
I stand by LACMA intolerant. I still love it. I'll do it next time. To me, it's a classic. To me, it's like Don't Fear the Reaper, Ralph. It's the kids expect it at this point. They'll be disappointed if I don't go for it.
There's
You're
not
wrong.
One kid.
There's no kids.
I am not taking that one back.
They're hideous.
Last week we did the Psycho Body with Psycho Mike, and the next one is Bean. Hard to imagine. And I think Mike speaks for all of us, by the way.
Get away with eating what would be considered unhealthy or fattening foods. They just eat like birds. You know, and it's like if you can get the bottom line
they go
nutrients,
up on the roof.
Oh man,
no Bean. Their mother eats the food and pukes it into their mouth like a bird.
Okay,
you right. absolute
Thank you
pain in the ass.
Right.
I want you dead.
Would you like to take that back?
They go up on the roof. And Mike off the top of his head topped you immediately by mom pukes it into their mouth.
Like, birds are usually in trees and stuff.
No
like branches.
They go up on the roof.
I don't see a lot of birds hanging out on the roof. In the first place.
Would you like to take that back?
I have crows at my house that live on the roof. But yes, I will take it back. I will take that one back.
And finally, a joint Kevin and Bean take back.
Wow. That's a first.
Ray Park, who was in X-Men and Star Wars Episode 1, played Darth Maul famously in
the same Ghostbusters, too. Were you racing before it, Kevin?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Double file.
I'm glad you won.
Double file. I don't think you've ever had a double file before.
I didn't finish.
Oh, yeah. You finished.
No,
you finished.
I didn't finish.
You so finished.
Wait, what's wrong with me that he got it out. Why would I not just go, hey, that's yours? And I was like, no, I did it too.
I know. You're desperate to rush to the bad.
So,
would you both like to take that back?
It's the first.
I don't know. Ralph's talking about a guy named Ray Park. Is it too easy to go to Ray Parker? Is that the problem? Is that the fail of the joke?
Would you both like to take that back?
We have to agree. You know my policy is to take everything back.
All right.
I have a carpet take back policy.
I'll take that one back too then. What the
All
hell?
Right, there you go.
Would you both?
There you go.
Ralph Garman in studio taking a look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But first though, since you mocked me for the way I attempted to do it yesterday with as much detail as possible, I'm going to let you handle it, Kevin. What do we have to give away here?
We are going
to
kick off the Labor Day weekend on Friday afternoon with a little band named Bush.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
How about that? Kick off a long weekend in style. You can join us right now.
Polish up my Galvin tattoo and get right out there. I'm going to be right there with you guys.
So let's see. How many do we have?
They'll give away as many as they can in the next few minutes. Okay. If you are a Bush fan and want to kick off the Labor Day weekend with Kevin and Bean this Friday afternoon, you have to be 21 or over. You can call right now at 1-800-520-9222.
1067. Super secret location, but it's real, and this is happening. So good luck to you from the Kevin Bacon.
You may be a little farther than you are right now.
I didn't bring that up.
There, but if you're close to it, then you may be close to it. So you might be closer than other people who are far from it.
You deserve to be mocked that time.
I did not bring up that it may That's be correct. In Tucson. I didn't say anything about that. All right. Thank time for you. The showbiz beat now. What's going on, Ralph?
This isn't funny.
What?
But I have to get it off my chest, and I'm just incensed about this hot sauce mother story. I can't get past it. She was sentenced today. I don't know if you heard about it.
I didn't. No.
She was sentenced to no jail time. She's given 3 years probation, 180-day suspended jail sentence, and a $2,500 fine. This is this woman in Alaska, if you're not following the story, named Jessica Beagley, and she punished her son by pouring hot sauce into his mouth and also by making him stand in ice-cold shower. Standing under the shower to punish
him. Now, did this become known at some point because she was putting him on YouTube or something?
Here's the showbiz-related angle to the story, which is the reason I bring it up, is she did it all. She put it on videotape. They have videotape of her doing this because she was auditioning for the Dr. Phil show. She wanted to be on the Dr. Phil show.
Thinking she was a good parent who
had
a
heavy hand?
Oh.
No, she wanted to be on their show for angry moms. Are you an angry mom? Call the Dr. Phil show. We'll put you on television. So she was so desperate to get on television, she called the Dr. Phil show producers and said, I'm an angry mom. Put me on television. So the producers call her up. They say, oh, Mrs. Beagler, are you still angry? Are you still an angry mom? She goes, oh, yes. I yell at my children. I'm angry. And they say, no, I'm sorry, but we actually need to see you actually punishing your son.
Oh,
can you
no.
send us some video?
What?
So she gets the kid. Puts him up there on the washer and dryer, puts the hot sauce on the shelf, gets her 10-year-old daughter to shoot the video audition for Dr. Phil, and then they capture her yelling at the kid and squirting hot sauce into his mouth to the point where the kid's in serious pain. And then she sends this audition tape off to Dr. Phil. So I'm thinking this woman is hideous. This kid, by the way, is adopted from Russia.
Aww.
Oh, man.
So this isn't her natural child. So she's a hideous person beyond belief and deserves jail time, in my opinion, to which she got none today. But how about holding the producers of the Dr. Phil show accountable, who are encouraging this woman, send us videotape of you being angry and cruel to your child. We need to see it.
Wow.
Why aren't they on trial?
Why
isn't that bald
yeah.
bastard on trial, or his producers, or whoever's responsible for encouraging this behavior? You know, this woman obviously is unbalanced enough that she so desperately wants to be on television, she's willing to put the child at danger.
You got a problem, lady.
But the Dr. Phil show that takes advantage of her instability apparently is being held blameless in this whole situation. I've been so furious about this story for weeks now.
I didn't think this could get any worse, but apparently it knows no bottom.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Dr. Phil.
Not a real doctor.
Not a real doctor. And you should be held accountable in some way. And I think you will be when it matters in the afterlife.
Wow.
There'll be a special place in hell reserved for you, Phil. For bald farts who are a-holes. Look it up. It's in Dante's Inferno. It's a special circle of hell for the bald farts who are a-holes.
Check that out.
Yeah, check that out. Sourcing you. all right, I feel better now. Let's move on with some hilarious, wacky showbiz news, shall we? Congratulations to our buddy Judy Greer.
Oh, we love her so much.
We do love her so much, and we've had her on the show, and I'd like to have her back again soon, and perhaps we will, because she has been cast to play Ashton Kutcher's soon-to-be ex-wife on 2 and a Half Men.
Oh.
She'll be playing Ashton Kutcher's wife on that show. I'm hoping she has a nice long run and they give her a bunch of episodes because that will only make that show better. So congratulations to Judy Greer for landing that role.
Producer Alex, we'd like to have Judy Greer come in, please.
Let's get Judy on, although she may be busy now because I'm sure she's filming because I know they're currently filming.
That's cute that you think Producer Alex listens.
She does! No, she's in the other room ordering eggies off the screen. She's
Don't get us started on eggies.
Oh, the eggies are so good.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Oh, I can't wait till tomorrow to talk about eggies. Eggies. I love eggies. I love eggies as much as I hate this Jessica Beagley who put hot sauce in her kid's mouth. Shia LaBeouf, he may need some anger management classes.
Uh-oh.
Got into another bar fight
Uh-oh. What? Can you go on Dr. Phil to resolve the issues he's having?
Angry actors. Are you an angry actor? Call Dr. Phil.
We need video.
If you have video.
Getting in a fight.
Yes. It's not enough that you told us. We need actual footage of you punching someone. Well, cameras should have been there last Friday in Manhattan when apparently Shia LaBeouf exchanged angry words with a friend of Marilyn Manson's. The two wound up lunging at each other off over a table, according to witnesses.
Wow.
Security stepped in and escorted Shia out of the bar. And apparently that was as far as it went, but still. You know what happened? Marilyn Manson's friend probably accused Shia LaBeouf of being a cop.
A cop?
While Marilyn was busy packing his nose with an unknown white powder. That's probably what happened. I can relate to you, Shia LaBeouf.
That's what happened to Ralph.
That's what happened to me backstage.
Is that guy a cop?
Is that a cop?
He's just a fan of your work on NYPD Blue, man. That's all.
Is that a cop?
That was you do kind things. Of have cop hair, though. Let's face it.
Yeah, I got a lot of things that are copy.
I don't know what that means.
Especially my nightstick. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're making a sexual reference.
Nope.
Okay. Then I don't.
And Doug Hutchinson and his delicious wife, Courtney Stodden, are in the news again. For those of you who don't remember.
Is she 40 yet?
She's not 40 yet. She just looks it. Did you see her Pamela Anderson homage?
No.
Her photo layout? Court Does Pam, it's called. Which is going to be the name of her video very soon, I'm sure.
I know.
But it's her in the Baywatch swimsuit.
Yeah.
Well, it's a replica of the Baywatch swimsuit, but the crotch area has been trimmed down to about a half an inch wide. Of course, she's showing off almost all of her goodies there at 16 years old. He's 51. He's an actor who's 51. Green Mile, Lost, of course. She is his 16-year-old bride. Well, yesterday she turned 17, and there was much rejoicing in the Hutchinson household.
Mm-hmm.
They set the world aflame with their love, first of all. They're flying on the wings
of love. I think I would like
to
shower with you.
Yeah. And she said it's the best birthday ever. Because, you know, she's got her 51-year-old husband. How do they plan to celebrate her birthday? Look, don't make these plans if you don't want to be mocked. I'm just telling them right now.
Okay?
Disneyland. That's where he's taking her, to Disneyland.
Of course.
Of course. Well, that's where you take a child to celebrate their birthday. Disneyland. I would put hot sauce in her mouth. That's what I would do. Teach her a lesson right there.
No one would blame you either.
Build good.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is comedian Louis Black. One of the greats, in my opinion.
I agree.
Just, have you ever seen him live? You ever seen his live show?
Yes.
Wow. Just
funny as hell.
Wall-to-wall laughter. One of those guys you watch and you go, okay, there are certain people who should be stand-up comedians and other people shouldn't even try. And he's one of those guys. You're like, this is about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
It will be horrible when he dies of an aneurysm. It really will be sad.
He is going to blow a gasket.
Though, yeah.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah.
63 years old today. Michael Chiklis, very talented actor, 48 years old. Cameron Diaz, she is an actress.
A very angry email today about not giving her a ding.
Oh,
they haven't seen her? This is a blind listener?
She's 39 years old today. Lisa Ling is 38. Andy Roddick, tennis player, celebrates his 29th birthday. Speaking of ding-worthy women, you know, he's married to.
Andy Roddick?
Yeah.
No.
I'm surprised, Kevin, because your one area of expertise usually is...
Might be.
Victoria's Secret models. Usually have that corner, that market cornered.
It's not Adriana Lima.
No, it's not.
Alessandra Ambrosio.
No.
Oh, Marissa Miller.
No.
I don't know.
A young lady by the name of Brooklyn Decker.
Oh, that's right.
Who's Andy's wife.
That's right.
That's what he goes home to
after
a hard day on the courts. He goes down there and he celebrates his birthday with Brooklyn Decker. That's what he does. He takes the A train to Brooklyn. That's what he does. Because his name's Andy. So it's right. The A train. You know what the A train is, don't you? Right. This is what I'm talking about. No, this is the A train.
People can't see you pointing.
I know they can't.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Wednesday morning, an all-new program. You have a regular name, but your parents felt the need to misspell it to make you more interesting. We have a great intern whose name is Wendy. Now, you would think W-E-N-D-Y, right?
Of course. Wendy. That's the only way to spell Wendy.
Wrong.
Wendy.
It's W-H-E-N-D-I-I.
Wendy-E-E.
For God's sake.
Wendy-E-E.
There's two I's.
Wendy-E-E.
Now, does that make her more interesting? No, it doesn't.
Wendy.
I would think it would be a struggle for her entire life to have such a poorly spelled name.
I would think so, too. But anyway, we're going to take your calls. A normal name,
But your parents had to misspell it to make you interesting. And do you like it? And would you change it at the very first chance you had?
I know two sisters named Rangelo.
No, you don't. Also, tomorrow we're going to talk about Ralph's weird cartoon love for the Eggy.
I love the Eggy!
And we've got Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yay!
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.